This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent them with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. So,
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's not all here today. Tom is sick. So maybe he'll call in at some point, but I guess he's got some type of bronchitis. That's what his wife says he has. Anyway, he's at home coughing up parts of his lung. But Andy,
he's
Paul,
so sick
Fred,
he had his wife call.
Yeah, and Dan's in the booth, and we're here to talk about this game coming up. But we also want to talk about the game that happened Sunday because I think it's a huge win. I think it was a statement game for the Patriots.
Every
you know, once again, Andy was wrong, but that's okay. We're used to that.
I believe I picked the Patriots.
No, I know, but you were ready to jump on. If the Patriots had lost this game, you would have been taking credit for it every way.
Probably. That's
right.
What I do.
So,
but in all honesty, I thought it was the better chance that they'd lose this game a month ago than I did recently because, first of all, I thought the way they played the last couple of weeks, they felt challenged and doubted and all that.
Yeah.
And then the comments by Smith were just the icing on the cake.
Talk about the tired comments, and that was leading into what you were saying, that they were going to get beat up leading into the game.
But I think because they had played so poorly already, they were already worked up. They were ready to bounce back.
The thing that made me a little worried was the fact that the Steelers had two games prior to this where they just couldn't run their offense. The weather was against them. So now they finally get to a game where I figured maybe you might see an offensive explosion.
That's the one thing I was talking with Paul earlier, and we were talking about how it was a close game. I mean, this game at the half, there was a chance they were in it.
Yeah.
Patriots pulled away, made some plays. They made big plays. But I thought Santonio Holmes back in the lineup, I thought they would try to go deep at some point, and they never did with him. So my guess is maybe he's still hurt with the ankle and doesn't have that ability. But I really thought with the way this secondary has looked recently, they would get challenged, and they never tried to do it.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And we got to start right off with another big shout-out to Chris in the Bronx, who came through with subs from Papa Gino's. Chris, you are the man. You are making people from New York look good. Let me tell you that.
And that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
Especially with Tom as an example.
So because of that, Chris, you get to have your email read right off the bat. No waiting. He says, Sunday was my birthday. My wife and I got to spend it at Gillette with two season ticket holding friends. That, of course, put me in a great mood, so I figured I'd spread the joy a little bit. Glad for the win, mostly because just one more means the home field bye belongs to New England. And then he has some draft questions for Tom, and Tom's not here. But if he calls in, I will definitely we'll pose those questions to Tom. But then Chris goes on and says, notice this week during the game, Roethlisberger threw away from Asante Samuel on most of his passes. One or two bubble screens were the exceptions, I believe. Is this indicative of Asante's prowess or the others' lack of it? Either way, they don't have to sign. Don't they have to sign Asante? I would imagine.
I think it was intentional, yeah.
Yep. And then he says, three plays I disagreed with. One, the short kickoff where Pittsburgh ended up with the ball at their own 45, a real momentum killer. Why did they
I didn't
that?
Really see what happened on that play.
He kind of pitched it up in the air.
Yeah, so it was intentional. I didn't really catch
it. I looked intentional, but
I was writing something. I looked up, and all of a sudden Pittsburgh had the ball near midfield. I didn't understand that.
I keep thinking I want to ask about that to somebody down there, and I keep forgetting.
You're afraid you'll get shot?
I just wonder why they did that. you know?
Odd. Yeah. Odd decision. But
two, going with an empty backfield in short yardage situations. I understand I shouldn't mess with success, but it seems that even the afterthought of a running game could come in handy someday.
Another fair point, I would say. I thought Pittsburgh did the same thing a couple of times, and I didn't really agree with that. Matter of fact, more so with Pittsburgh because they do have the threat of a running game, and right. I think they told everybody that they weren't going to run it. They got him anyway. It didn't matter. But
you know what I thought was funny? After the goal line stand on the one-yard line, they brought out Maroney, Evans, Brady. They had their jumbo package in there, as Fred would like to say. And then before the play clock had even reset, they jogged that package off, came back, spread them out. And then it was boom, boom, Wes Welker show all the way down the field. Yeah. I thought that was weird that I don't know if that was for Pittsburgh to get Pittsburgh to think we're going to do the traditional thing here and run it and then change it up. Or I thought that was a little weird.
I think that probably did have something to do with it. They were trying to catch Pittsburgh with the wrong personnel. But
right.
I was just looking at that drive. It's funny you mentioned it, Andy, because I was just going through the play-by-play, and it was a 12-play drive. Brady went 9 of 12. He completed 9 in a row, the last three passes in the drive were the three incompletions, one of which was a flat-out drop by Moss in the end zone. But it was 31-13. Ultimately it wound up about midway through the fourth quarter. I thought it was a little. I thought that the decision to throw off the goal line was a great one, and one that I would agree with wholeheartedly. I think that's the easiest way to get that one first down to ensure that you'll at least, if you have to punt, you have enough room. Because if you just run into that line right there, especially against a good defense, you're going to have a hard time making holes. So I liked the throw off the goal line, but 9 in a row? I was a little surprised by that. Now, it worked, so I'm not questioning. I mean, we know, and I guess the Patriots feel that their best players, rightly so, are Brady, Moss, and Welker, and they put the ball in those guys' hands rather than put the ball in a running game.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's sort of been made clear they don't like Lawrence Maroney in short yardage situations. We all talk about that he dances a little. I mean, when you're on your one-yard line, the fear is there you give up 2 points, and you get a safety if you hand it to Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could play into it to some degree, too.
And we all know that, you know, even though the Patriots will say it doesn't really factor in, you know, the comments that Smith made did factor in.
And they targeted
up to that
Welker.
Point, up to that point, yes, Welker hadn't really caught a lot of balls. So, as a final
perfect
little
storm.
Thing, maybe they wanted to do.
There's
was
no
make
question.
Sure that yeah. Welker showed up.
There's
on
no
the
they wanted
mind,
Welker
right
to get
you.
The catches there yeah. because Anthony Smith had called him Walker and sort of said, "I'm yeah. going to get him," and he's not that all that.
And,
stuff.
And you know what? Everyone made a big deal about the guarantee comment. The thing that got to the Patriots was saying that he had played against a better bunch of receivers already, and the Welker thing. They don't care when another team guarantees a win because that's talking about your own team. What they don't like is when you start talking about our team, and that's what
that's
I think got
too,
under
right?
their skin.
Here's where I get in trouble and say, I agree with Anthony Smith.
Well,
I think the mean? Bengals, in terms of just pure talent, have better receivers.
Well, I think you can,
yeah,
make,
but they're
I
not,
think you can make an argument.
As a receiving core, it's not as good because of Brady.
Right. Well, that's the quarterback, not the receiving
but
core.
You take the whole thing as a package.
I just think
though.
If you talk
well,
Johnson, Hushmanzada, and Henry
better as a receiver.
Is better than Moss, Welker, and
Stallworth. Mean, I you know, with the way Moss has played, I take my chances with the Patriots because I think mm-hmm. Moss is better than anybody that Cincinnati has in the way he's played this year. But I think, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be offended, not from the Patriots.
Oh.
I understand. No, I understand the
Who
Patriots.
Who would you rather have, Stallworth
I'm
or
Hushmanzada? About
I think I might take Hushmanzada.
Right,
yeah.
I would. Well, that's what I said is for your people is it's not Welker. It's not comparing the threes in Henry and Welker. It's sort of the twos that have become.
Right.
Stallworth has sort of been forgotten in the offense a little bit of late, not making as many big
sure.
plays as I think
sure.
we probably thought he would have at this point. I mean, let's be honest. Jabbar Gaffney has made more big plays in the last 3 weeks than Stallworth has.
Yes, he has.
So
well,
your boy, to me, is no longer. I mean,
but that's
Welker is better than I thought
Welker
he was going to be.
Than Chris Henry.
Yes,
but that's
in terms
one.
Of production, I think Henry is probably more physically gifted than
right.
Wes Welker.
And the
but
fact that he's
you can't argue what Wes Welker's doing on the football field.
And the fact that he's an idiot has allowed him,
right.
not allowed him, it's forced him to miss more games than he's played over the last 2 years. So that's why the production, you know, the production's not there, but he hasn't played because he's been suspended so many times.
I just chuckle at Wes Welker because I'm all on board now. He's way better than I thought. I thought he was going to catch balls, but I didn't think he was going to catch balls that he would then scamper for 22 yards. I didn't think that'd be part of his game. I thought he'd catch 3 yarders that he scampered for 8.
Yeah, he's been terrific.
He's been better than I thought. And
that's why
I laugh in the post-game locker room with that ridiculous mustache he's growing.
Oh,
that makes him look.
Did you see that? He's got the prototypical porn stash going.
I just saw him about 10 minutes ago down in the corridor.
Did you tell him to get rid of it? You're Fred Kirsch, president of the Wes Welker fan club.
No,
please get rid of
the mustache.
I looked at him askance.
As what?
I looked at him askance.
You should have.
Askance. That's a good word, Fred. But I do think you can make the argument either way. I like the Patriots set over the Cincinnati's, but as a fan, I wouldn't necessarily be offended by the comparison. I think they're pretty good guys. I think the Patriots
is
deeper.
But you don't need to go there.
The Patriots are no, it's a dumb
I agree.
No,
you don't need
Fred,
to go there.
Your point about the Patriots being upset. If I'm the Patriots, I'm upset about it. Sure. Yeah. Don't talk about my guys. Absolutely.
How about Kerry Rhodes going the other way this week? We're going to play hard and try not to get beat by too many points.
Well, they'll find a way.
Oh, good.
To make fun of that
so
too.
You're guaranteeing a loss. You're just questioning by how many.
You know what I thought was really, you know, and it's funny. I talking to the TV guys down the hall, Fred. You know, the Kraft Sports guys. I don't necessarily think the guarantee itself was that big. I think the Patriots are pretty good at game planning. I think if Anthony Smith hadn't said anything, they probably would have figured out that he's a guy that's overly aggressive and can bite on these. I think they may, you know, I know that they did it on purpose because of him.
Right.
But I think they may have done it whether he said something stupid or not. But where I think that he helped, Anthony Smith's comment really helped, was during the week. Because I know, and Bill is, you know, trot Nixon did as many times as you can, including chastising our poor Andy. And post game,
now hold it.
They were tired. Okay, that was a jolt of energy for them. You know, on Wednesday when it sucks to be here, and on Thursday when it sucks to be here after the 3 straight night games and all that, he allowed them to say, "Hey, we got a big game against a physical team, and this guy is talking, you know, nonsense."
Yeah,
that really helps. I think during the week a lot.
I want to finish up Chris's email. He also says on Pittsburgh's side, the 4th-and-goal call. If an empty backfield spreads out the defense, why hand off the ball to a non-running back and send him to the outside? As a Pats fan, that call made me happy. And one final question. Gaffney's recent production has taken away from Stallworth's numbers. We were just mentioning that. Does this mean anything, or is it just a case of not enough passes to go around?
I personally think it's the latter. I think Gaffney's played terrific. I give him a lot of credit, but I think it's one of those deals. Although I will say the last touchdown in Baltimore, the game winner, Gaffney came in and Stallworth went out for whatever reason on that play. I don't know if there was something going on with Stallworth. He wasn't really a big part
Josh
of the
McDaniels
game.
McDaniels said it was a package to play into his strengths or whatever.
Right. No, I heard. I heard the answer. To be honest with you, Andy, that's the only reason why I knew that. When Gaffney came in, Stallworth went out. Oh. I just assumed it was a 4-wide set because usually when Gaffney's on the field, it's a 4-wide set.
Stallworth hasn't had an overabundance of drops or anything,
nope.
Has he? I don't recall.
No,
he had one big drop against Buffalo.
But I just...
When Stallworth's on, he's going to draw maybe a different corner than Gaffney will, and they're looking for matchups.
I agree, and I also just think, I've said this, I think he's a poor man's Randy Moss, and you have the rich man's Randy Moss on your team.
I don't know,
so
I think Stallworth is underneath, I think I'd rather go to him because he can break tackles.
He can break tackles. My question is, can he catch the football? I don't think he excels at crossing and catching the balls in the old triangle that they talk about where you put your fingertips and thumbs together.
He's a big play guy.
I think he's kind of a questionable hands guy. I would say that if you listed his strengths and weaknesses, hands would fall under the weakness column a little bit. So I don't think he is as good as your boy, Welker, at just short, turning, catching the ball, crossing the field, catching the ball. You know, I think he needs to be down the field and kind of run underneath the football to have his best success or catch it parallel to the line of scrimmage and then break tackles. The intermediates, I'm not sure that's his strength.
Well, we all thought that this might be a game where Lawrence Maroney could do something, but no.
Ring it up with the last 17 in a row or however many it is?
I thought they might. I thought he might.
I just thought going against Pittsburgh's defense that they probably wouldn't give him many opportunities.
I just thought that coming off the Baltimore game, like I said, I thought he had earned the right to have some more reps. Yeah. I thought he would. And
I never saw that, really.
I was going to say, at the risk of stealing Tom's argument, I didn't really see that against Baltimore either.
I saw it in the passing game. But anyway, he had the one nice run for 10 yards where You know, he just kept moving the pile. But other than that,
him or the pile moved him.
You know, other than that, now we know Pittsburgh's a good defense, and you can't argue with the Patriots' success. You know,
these next 2 weeks, Fred, will be the games for you.
But
he'll be up around 100 yards the next 2 weeks.
But in all fairness, if he has 150 yards, I can't really say, well, he's back, or this is it, because it's against the Jets.
No, I know.
You know,
so his most carries
they
of the year,
stop
right?
Anyone.
Against New York the first time,
it all
depends. Established him.
Yeah, it all depends. I think on how they want to go about these. Because I mean, I think there's a real chance that they have a pretty significant lead in the second half of this game. Now, do they try to win the game by as many points as they possibly can because it's the Jets or whatever, or do they go overly the other way?
That's my prediction.
Just to prove everybody wrong, and you know, just kind of grind out the clock and go business as usual.
We're usually never right when we're trying to think of what the Patriots will do.
Right,
that's true.
So, however we think this game is going to be, it's probably not going to be.
It's
probably
going to
be like a 24-0 game. You know,
I think there's a better chance of that than a 77-point outburst.
Now,
yeah.
Also,
ridiculous.
And you probably know this better than me, Fred. But chance for pretty significant storm on Sunday. From what they're saying?
Oh, I haven't looked
saying?
Yet.
Yes.
Really?
So, and you never know what kind of impact the weather conditions could play on the game.
Well, there's like four storms this week. It's like Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Storm, storm, storm.
Oh, well, the one that's hitting the Midwest now with that big ice storm, it's supposed to warm up by the time it gets here.
It'd be
so
total
it's just rain.
Yeah.
So, whatever that means. But I think that's
I got
to
hope for that
because
I got some significant ice in my driveway that if it doesn't warm up at all,
I'd
soon,
rather have
I'm
six
dead.
Feet of snow than what we have out there.
Yeah.
With all the ice. It's terrible.
So I need a warm up to get rid of this, the crap in my driveway.
Why don't you just buy some of that stuff?
It doesn't work.
It doesn't?
It just makes pockets of.
It's good if you can get it when it happens. It's really good. It works really well. But it's hard to do it when you have a mound of. Like, you know when the plow comes and plows in the end of your driveway? If you don't get that. And it becomes ice,
right.
It's really hard to get rid of. And I'm very close right now. I'm not going to get rid of it all winter if it doesn't warm up a little bit.
I tried with a torch or something.
I was chopping away. I was chopping wood like Chris Hansen yesterday.
You hit your leg?
No.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. As I said before, Tom is at home nursing what could be bronchitis. He thinks it might be strep throat.
Is he self-diagnosing himself?
Thank goodness he got that flu shot, he said. So.
Yeah, I don't
he also said he thinks this is it.
This could be it.
Allison,
had a nice run.
Allison thinks it's just bronchitis. He thinks it's just this is the start of it.
I agree. He's had a nice run.
But you know what?
Wah.
But so. You know what?
Wah.
All right.
Good game, though, Freddie. A lot of intriguing stuff. Good big plays, like Andy talked about the two bombs.
Yeah.
And the goal line stand. Good stuff.
There was nothing better than seeing that ball go down. I mean, Brady heaved that thing. He was like 60,
which one?
60 yards in the air, the double pass.
Oh, and it was a terrible throw. It was wobbling. It barely got there. As Rodney said, it hung up in the wind.
Did you see they were saying that Moss threw it better than – even Brady said it.
Yeah,
he did.
Yes,
Brady's throw – Moss's throw was better than either one of mine on that play.
Yeah.
I agree.
So
yeah, he threw a wobbler there. Did go a long way. It was 60-plus yards in the air, but it struggled a little bit to get there, lost a little momentum along the way.
I thought on defense, Rodney Harrison had maybe his best, if not second-best game of the year.
Good game. In some unique matchups, I thought. Played outside linebacker at times. Then you see a key play on the goal line. He's playing corner against Holmes, who's supposed to be athletic.
That
covers
was really,
him.
Really good coverage, I thought, on
yeah.
Holmes.
And that's not a good matchup.
That's not a good matchup. I'm sure that Pittsburgh looked at that and said, hey, I'll take my chances there. And Rodney was really right in his face.
I would have just run
maybe
a slant or something.
A little aggressive. But. I love the no call because I hate the referees. I mean, let's face it. I say that every week. I just thought it was really good coverage against the guy that you would think would have an edge in that matchup.
I thought that Dalis Thomas had a pretty good game, and I think that the Patriots would have had more sacks than three had the refs been calling holding once in a while.
Mike Vrabel absolutely ate Willie Colon's lunch.
Yeah.
He Bill tried to say he was one of the better right tackles they faced all year. He was one of the worst I've seen.
I'm starting to think when he comes out with a guy that we've never really heard, we don't know a lot about,
and praises
overly
him.
Praises him, that's
the
should
red
be
flag.
A red flag.
That means we're targeting you.
Yes.
I do think Vrabel.
Especially when a young guy, like he may be trying to, you know, like maybe Willie Colon saying, I'll throw that out there. Maybe he'll read it and he'll think he's pretty good.
Right.
I do think Vrabel knew the snap count or something had an edge because he was getting off with the ball or a half second before it every single play and just beating. You know, we talked about the edge rushes, keep Roethlisberger in the pocket, just beating Colon to the edge all day. I think the refs, you know, it's sort of like on defense where I say they're not going to call illegal contact every play. They decided they weren't going to call holding every play because they could have.
They called a lot of holdings. They called at least two or three.
They could have called
And they could have called it.
Every pass play they could have called
absolutely
him.
Dead on. They could have called it way more than they did.
And it's one of those games where if you go back and look at the stats, you'll never know it because it didn't show up in the stats in any way that Mike Vrabel absolutely owned that guy at the line of scrimmage.
Significant part
no
of the
sacks,
game.
No sacks, no hits, no anything, but killed him.
And, you know, he's coming off the defensive left side for the most part. And one of the things that Pittsburgh talked about all week, well, not so much people that thought Pittsburgh's offense and stuff, was the ability, and I heard Ed Bouchette talk about this. He's a longtime Steelers writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Also a local guy, Fred. I grew up in Swampscott. But anyway, he said
I like stories.
Roethlisberger is far more dangerous on those scramble plays when he's rolling to his right.
Mm-hmm.
And Vrabel coming off the left the way he was prevented that. Now
looked pretty good rolling left when he threw
that
touchdown.
I was going to say, he did sidestep to the left, but that was more of us just going left to avoid pressure. Then he set himself and threw.
So on ESPN, they're showing the banner that somebody was flying over the stadium before the game with the Belichick three Super Bowls with the asterisk. Do we ever find out who sponsored that?
No. I just assumed it was Kyle Brady. We all know he has his small pilot's license.
I did not, Fred.
Which is weird. Usually those things that say something, say like casinonet.com or like one of those weird like website casinos or
some insignificant place that's looking to make an, you know.
Sounds like
that,
maybe it's just a rich guy who had an opinion.
What was that, like that movie hoax that was that cartoon thing?
Oh, yeah.
With all the light, the light bright things.
Adult Swim thing or whatever it was. Yeah.
You remember what I'm talking about? They had all those things that they were planted all around the
Boston
and some other big cities.
Yeah, it was something on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
How would we find out who did it?
I don't know.
Could you call the FAA and ask about the plane's flight path and backtrack somehow?
Whatever happened to the stadium being a no-fly zone?
Oh, that went out years ago.
That only is up to a certain point before the game. I think an hour before the game, it becomes a no-fly zone.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Paul. Sorry to digress, but Fox News, city outlaws swinger parties at suburban home. They always have the most interesting news stories.
I told you, they're very salacious.
And it says, can I read what the sign said? No, I probably shouldn't. It said the Mrow Pit, ladies only.
Oh.
But it didn't use the word Mrow.
Okay. I think Kyle used to have swinger parties. Kyle Passati. He's a swinger.
Wouldn't he have to have a woman with him to have sex with him first before he could start swapping?
How does that work, that swinger stuff, Fred? You
show up with a partner and then you go either way.
What, you put your car keys in a bowl and you just pick up?
That's a key party.
Oh,
okay. That's a key party.
What's that?
Whoever's keys you pick out.
Everybody puts their car keys in. And then you pick one out, and whoever's keys you pick out, you go home with.
You've done this?
I've heard about it.
You've done this?
I've never done it.
You know a little too much about it.
When you get
you know how you ask me
girl,
like a steroids question and say I know
best,
a little too
you
much?
You don't have to look anywhere else. 2 years ago, I was begging 19-year-old blonde girls.
Well done right there, Fred. Well done.
She doesn't listen.
I would hope not.
Okay, webradio at patriots.com. We have a lot of emails coming in of all various nature. Most, of course, dealing with the game on Sunday. I think it was a statement game for the Patriots because I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, other than the Colts, really were the only team that could threaten this run that they're on. Now that they're over that, I might have to jump on that bandwagon that you guys have been on since the beginning of the season.
16-0, baby. How could you not? No offense.
Well, no, I mean,
at this point,
I never thought they could do it.
At this point, it's a done deal.
You've always been a
doubter,
Fred.
Come on.
Anything could happen in that Giants game.
Why?
Because who knows who's going to play? And
I know who's
going to
play for the Patriots.
Are going to play, and they're not. The Giants
I don't really care
not.
Who the Giants play. I know who's going to play for the Patriots.
I just feel. I never want to say it's over because you just don't know.
I'm not saying that it absolutely positively can't be an upset. I'm just saying that the three teams that they have left on their schedule
have absolutely
do not possess anywhere near the amount of ability that the Patriots do.
Absolutely.
I think you could make an argument that the Colts have,
did you see them again?
A comparable. They were very impressive.
Their defense is unbelievable.
Now, I will say that everything
even
that we said, everything we said about Baltimore. Freeman. Ended up being true. They completely mailed it in. That game was over at 7-0.
Which actually makes the Ravens-Dolphins matchup a potentially an interesting one.
Wow.
For all the wrong reasons.
Who's going to fall over themselves more to lose that game?
And by the way, while we're on the Colts, looks like Gonzalez has finally turned into what he thought he could be, a perfect three there.
Suddenly he's catching passes. Yes. Yeah, I guess he's been lobbying Manning all, you know, like all year, like, you know, why don't you ever throw the ball deep to me? Why don't, you know, whatever. And I'm like, every time I see him throw the ball, you drop it.
Right. I saw it firsthand. I actually closed the door on him when we saw him firsthand.
He has been awful.
But now it seems like he's what we thought he was going to be. He would take advantage of the system and the position and all that.
Well, it's a good sign for them because they have finally seemed to have gotten past all the injuries.
Right.
And now that their offense looked like the Colts' offense to me. Now, again, Baltimore didn't show up, so I don't want to put too much into it. But they also didn't win the game 13-7.
Right.
They won, you know, it was 44-7. You know,
with Sorgi,
you know, 8 minutes, 10 seconds left in the third quarter, and the backup quarterback was in the game. That's how one-sided the game was. So, but I think the Colts more resembled themselves than they have in that last month when they've been without Harrison and Moorhead got hurt and all these other guys that have been hurt. They look like, you know, between Clark and Utecht, by the way.
Utecht
is finally catching some passes, and Reggie Wayne is still the number one guy.
And back to the Steelers, Fred, you mentioned you thought they were maybe one other team other than the Colts that had a chance. I agree with Mike Tomlin. I thought he was very honest in his, if that's the measuring stick, we got a long way to go. But I also think they showed enough in the first half where they come in here in the playoffs, they at least should have the confidence that they can hang with this team. The big plays hurt him in the second half. It kind of got out of hand.
You know what? I mean, even if Polamalu plays, you know, by then he should be ready to go. Although, I don't know. He's got that ligament. But I think that right now the Patriots' passing game has to be in that secondary's head. Don't you think that?
But don't you think, I mean, don't you think that for the better part of the game, Pittsburgh kind of did what it wanted to do, except for that they made the cardinal sin of allowing those two big plays?
Right. You subtract those two big plays, and
You can't take those out.
But
you can't.
From a coaching perspective, if you say, if we don't absolutely drop the ball and let it roll out away,
no, I understand
we got
that,
a chance.
But you can't take those out. And I heard somebody saying,
no, you can't.
They were defending the Patriots' run defense, saying, oh, well, if it wasn't for, you know, these couple plays
by Parker.
Yeah,
I heard you say that.
No, I didn't say that.
You yelled at me when I told you that I can't believe they didn't run the ball on the goal line. You said, why? They haven't run the ball all day. And I see he's averaging 5.5 a carry. And you said he had a 30-yard run.
Well,
and I said, take it out. He's averaging 4.5.
Now, that was Sunday, right? He said that?
Yes.
Spread changes Sunday to Tuesday.
No, but somebody said that, you know, 13 of the runs were for 3 yards or less or 2 yards
or less.
Well, Felgren
is report card,
you know, I just...
That's looking.
The eye test said that they could run the ball.
That's looking at. That's. I agree with you, Fred. Yeah. That's examining too close.
But Pittsburgh, the big play, coaching wise, I think you can coach them and say, you guys sucked on these two plays. You allowed the best big play offense in football to lure you into big plays. If you can play solid football there,
that's
maybe
my
the game plays out differently.
I think the Patriots beat them 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. Fred. I think they're a better team. But I'm saying if you're Pittsburgh and you're trying to make a case for the Steelers here.
You definitely can.
You say, we don't normally allow those big plays. And if we can take those out, maybe come up with a stop. I mean, now, just because you don't allow the big play doesn't mean the Patriots don't go on
to
score.
They still beat you.
They were both first down plays. But if we don't allow those plays and we can force punts, maybe we're in the game.
And your argument... Maybe they can also rally around. Troy Polamalu wasn't back there. We get him back. He changes our defense. And the thing I brought up, maybe Holmes is at full health the next time, and they can go down the field and create a deep threat. I just think Tomlin has something to work with.
He does.
Should he need to return here in
January.
That's
all we're talking about. We all think, Tom's not here, but Andy and I both think, we already talked about it upstairs, we both think the Patriots were a better team. They were, I think, significantly a better team. But if you're trying to make an argument for the Steelers is to say, why do we have a shot? Why do we even bother showing up for a playoff game? That's it. You know, they were in the red zone 3 times and came away with a total of 3 points.
And turned into the freaking pansy-ass Steelers. I mean, why are we running end-arounds? Right. I thought we were the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, running game, hard-nosed blue-collar.
See, that's the other thing.
Running end-arounds?
You know, you said Felger's report card said that. That's the other thing I disagree with. If they had whatever amount of runs they had, did he subtract the 4 fourth-and-ones that they converted? Because none of those were more than 3 yards.
Right.
Those are successful runs. They didn't stop them.
You have to look at efficient runs. Efficient runs are runs for first down, runs for 4 or more yards, or runs that result in a touchdown.
Yep.
Those are efficient runs.
They converted a 3rd and short early. They converted a couple of 4th downs in short. And then they threw on one of the 4th downs, I think, too. I mean, to say that, they only got 2 yards in that run. Well, if it's 4th and 1 and you get 2, that's a good run.
But an end around on 4th and 1 on the goal line, not a good run.
Bad call. And all that said, he ran into his own guy.
Yeah, I know.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
I love when you look away and your voice fails, and then your voice comes back.
Well, I have to make sure that I'm reading the number correctly.
But, like, grab the mic and bring it with you. Do something.
All right.
What do you think of the Michael Vick sentence, by the way? We didn't talk about that at all.
Well, I was saying before, if he had come out from the beginning and just said, yeah, I did it, thrown himself at the mercy of the court, he'd be in jail for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this is because he lied and kept lying.
Mm-hmm. And I like it.
And smoked dope.
I like it.
He also tested positive while he was in that
No, I know,
period.
But
that's
I
not,
like it.
That's not a good thing.
I like the fact that they went above what the prosecutors recommended.
Yeah, I think 23 months is fair. I think it's appropriate.
The question is, he gets out in 2009
his career's
with
over.
Good behavior. Does the NFL tack on another year
after that?
Because I just think it's too long for a guy who wasn't that good. The only way I see he comes back is if some team makes him a kick returner slash.
Well, I mean, I
think his career as a quarterback is over.
I think you're right.
Because it's too much.
I think he comes
a guy
back
who
as a slash.
Couldn't run an offense is now going to be away from offenses for 3 years.
See, I wrote the commentary at the time that I didn't think I thought he played his last game. I don't think he'll be back. And the reason why I don't think he'll be back as a slash is because why would you take a chance on a marginal guy? There's an argument to be made if Tom Brady is out of work for 3 years, okay? And I'm a team desperate to turn it around and make a splash and get better, and I need a quarterback. Tom Brady's worth, to me, the fallout of having PETA, you know, picketing in front of my stadium and all that stuff. Why do I want the negative publicity that comes along with signing Michael Vick if all he's going to be is kind of a situational slash guy?
Well, I think one thing is... He's if he still has the speed, he's still a great athlete. People are always wowed by athleticism.
Tremendous athlete.
Secondly, I think a decent PR can spin it and say you're giving a guy a second chance. America is about second chances, and he paid his time. He did the crime, all that. I think you can spin it. And third of all, I think there's probably some people, maybe even some owners, that feel like I do. I hate PETA. I'm against the cruelty to animals. But I don't like PETA. It seems like every time they do something, they annoy me. So they almost hurt their cause in my own personal mind.
They're so militant.
I can't argue with
that. So there might be an owner who feels like me who goes, you know what? Give them a chance. I hate PETA. Screw PETA.
So militant. All right, let's get to some emails because we have a lot. And
we also have a new clock. What's this about?
People have everything to say, some things to say. This is
the sky timer.
Sky timer.
Oh, does that mean it's nuclear?
It's a wall.
Atomic?
It's a wall-mountable clock.
Are
we selling it in the pro shop or something?
Yeah. Can you put it back up on that tissue box? Because now I can't see it.
Speaking of the pro shop, by the
Why
way.
Why are we speaking of the pro shop but not into the box?
You can get your shopping done in the patriotsproshop.com before Christmas.
It's a buckle.
Stop putting the word the before all of your websites, too.
This isn't going to work. Oh, here we go. I got it. I got the clock up there.
Well,
so if you want to, there's still time to get your stuff done on theproshop.com before Christmas and get it shipped to you in time.
If all our listeners want to play a little funny game, every time Fred puts the in front of a website, actually try going to that website. It's entertaining. TheNFL.com, for example, is thenationalfoodlaboratories.com based in San Francisco.
You can always go to the Google and find it.
Try it. It's funny. Strippers, get on that and let us know what you come up with.
Apparently on Friday, Dave Kirkland was in a row with us.
Who's Dave Kirkland?
And he's taking it out on me. He says, I am stupid or is it Fred? Does Fred need more butt wipes? He asks. I still think Maroney can do what they need. I'm not the one who is stupid. Like he called me on last Friday's email. He is the one who is stupid.
Who called him stupid?
I don't think I did.
I don't ever remember Fred calling anyone stupid.
I think it was Tom,
stupid.
But anyway.
That would be my guess.
Or does the wipe think the Patriots need to get the run more established so they can do better passing against the best pass defense in the NFL? This is all in caps, by the way, so he's really mad. You want to go? He asked me. And P.S.
I think that's for Tom.
And P.S. Paul gets it now, I bet. I don't know what
gets
that.
What?
Sex? I don't know.
First of all.
I don't get sex.
Can we keep my sex life out of this, number one?
That's what she said.
It stays out of his bedroom.
See, you always say that Fred says it like that, but you always say it
but
like
I
that.
But I do it because of him.
Yeah, no, I'm not so sure about that anymore.
Paul's wife asked him, she said, I want to have sex in the back seat of the car. Can you drive?
Who'd you steal that one from?
That's a Rodney Dangerfield joke. Take my wife, please.
You know what I mean? I don't get any respect. All right.
I don't know. I don't have any idea
so
what
Dave,
I get now.
Dave is, I don't know, he's mad at us for not agreeing that Maroney is the answer for the running game. And I want to agree with that. I just, the
so
fact.
So was he saying that they were going to run the ball this week against Pittsburgh? Is that what he was
saying?
I don't
know. I forget. But here's my thing about Maroney. This sums it up right now for me. Okay? On any one of these games where he's not done what we want, you could come up with some argument, like why it didn't happen for him. But when you add them all up, the big picture says it's a disappointment right now.
There's no argument for that in my mind. No argument that can be made for him not being a disappointment. The only thing you can argue, I think, is that he's not a bust. You can't give up.
No, he's not a bust.
He still has a chance.
And I haven't
right.
given up on him.
You can't.
But
you
for
can't,
right now,
book is closed, right.
Right. He's a disappointment.
The weight of evidence is against him right now.
Right. And it's the same thing. I think another guy in a lesser sense is Benjamin Watson, because he fell into the same category of has talent, could be a playmaker with the rest of the offense, should be more dynamic. And as we talked about in the press box, he catches the ball and gets tackled. I never see him make an athletic play, make somebody miss, hit a big play. So I think those guys, even Stallworth is now falling under disappointment, because certain guys are making plays virtually every week, and other guys who should be sort of riding the coattails of that aren't on this offense. And we're not saying the offense stinks, because it's clearly very good, productive, winning, but there's some other pieces that maybe could be performing better.
Right. They've decided they're going to lean on Brady, Moss, and Welker, to a lesser extent Stallworth and Gaffney.
And what happened
That's
when
how
we
they're
saw some
it.
Team take away Moss and Welker? We saw the Patriots struggle to win.
Right. And if anybody's able to do that, that's obviously much easier said than done. But you can make the argument.
I'm a 10-year vet. You answer that.
Right. You can make the argument.
I like the spunk Moss showed postgame.
Like you said, Andy, you can make the argument that the book isn't closed on Maroney, but you can't necessarily say
right.
that the production has been anywhere near it was expected to be.
All right, on the phone right now is Lucky. Lucky, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Lucky?
Lucky.
Yeah. What's going on in Chicopee?
Nothing much. I've been working my tail off for the past couple weeks, man, so I caught a break, so I'm resting right now before I have to go back out to the aircraft and fix some more stuff.
All right.
Why are the planes all broken?
They're not broken. They go through this process, which is called an ISO process, where we, like, revamp, go through and find anything that's wrong with the plane and fix it. They have an ISO, I think, what is it, every year or every couple years. So I happen to be in charge of the last ISO in this one, so I have to take care of it for my section.
All right. So what do you think of the game?
Man, I was happy. I was loving it. I like the blowouts. I hate the nail biters. I mean, last week, the Baltimore game, I was throwing stuff, pacing back and forth. I couldn't sit down. And even after the game was over, I couldn't sleep for a couple hours. So, you know, this game, I was just cruising. I just relaxed and watched the game. I was happy.
Were you concerned early on when it was a ball game? Did you think the Steelers had a chance?
No. You know what? I was concerned before Anthony Smith opened his mouth. And once he did it, then I knew right then and there it was a wrap. So.
Yeah, I sort of felt the same way.
See, not me. Any double chances? Pass did it for me.
See, going into the game, I thought any chances, Anthony Smith was the final straw, game, set, match.
Yeah, and I heard he was talking junk at the beginning of the game, the pregame warm-up or something like that.
Yeah, sounds like a guy who basically talks all the time, and I got no problem with that because, you know, I'm a guy who basically talks all the time.
Oh, yeah, we know him.
You got to back it up. He's like you. You're all talk.
I back it up.
You don't walk. You just talk.
You want to consider it? Consider it.
I'll consider it.
Wait, I don't get Tom's voice. Where's Tom?
He's not here.
Tom is sick, Lucky. He's
he's sick?
He's either got strep throat or bronchitis or both.
Damn.
Yeah.
So it might be the end of Tom.
But you know what?
The end of Tom?
Yeah, he's had a nice run, but he's getting up there in years. Might be time to just take him out back.
Is he slipping like Stallworth?
Yeah, a little bit. It's been a disappointment of late, just like Stallworth.
All right.
All right, well, you know, I'll let y'all get back to whatever you're doing, because I got to go back to work anyway.
Okay.
I got some questions to ask you, but I'm not going to ask you on air. I'll just send y'all an email. And
okay,
y'all
if we see it, we'll get to it. All right,
Lucky.
Put that right. iPhone to use and send it. See
you. All right.
Lucky. All right, bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Lucky.
So they only
Lucky,
fix the plane.
Lucky.
What? They only fix things, quote unquote, every year or so.
Well, they go through the 50
He goes, it's not that they weren't working, it's just we go through and fix the broken stuff. Well, that tells me it wasn't working.
Airplanes require constant maintenance.
As a total aside, Andy, did you happen to catch Andre Davis's
kick return
for a
most
touchdown?
Most unlikely?
That's serious speed. When you could tell on the replay how fast the guy is just by watching, I mean, he was just blistering down the sideline.
He looked like me in my good days.
Oh, please.
Let's see. Todd in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Slippery Nipples. Just wanted to know what you thought about Chad Jackson getting some reps as a returner. I thought he looked pretty good, but at the same time makes me a little nervous.
I thought he made me nervous more than he looked pretty good.
I thought that first one was great.
Yeah, that was the only one where he looked pretty good.
That was the second one, and that was the only one that he was even remotely positive on.
And he ended up with a bad average, even with a 39-yarder.
He muffed up the other one.
Muffed up. I like that. And punts, I would never put him back there because I don't trust
him. I agree
with
the emailer. He just made me nervous.
Okay. Also, can the Pats please cut Hobbs? I thought he was going to be a very good corner for the Pats, but now every time I see a team score through the air, I also see Hobbs' name after he is picking himself up off the ground from being burnt yet again. Seriously, Nahe Davenport, it's time to lock up Samuel long-term, even if that means losing Randy Moss and Stallworth. As long as we have Brady, I am not as concerned about wide receiver. However, I am afraid to imagine this pass defense without Samuel.
I agree.
He has not had a very good season.
But do you really want to see Randall Gay or Eddie Jackson or whoever's next in line?
No.
I think he's struggled. I think he's a low-end number two corner right now. But I trust Bill Belichick that he's his best low-end number two corner on the team.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Mike writes in, and I don't know where he's from, but he said Fred sucks. hey, Tom, Andy, and Paul. He leaves me out of that, too. Have you all seen Joe Flacco play? He's a quarterback from Delaware and transferred there from Pitt.
Very good.
I love Matt Castle, but I'm starting to wonder if he could ever become a quality backup.
Nope.
Flacco has a cannon for an arm, and he is unbelievable accurate, especially on intermediate and deep balls. I know that the Pats will certainly use the draft to get younger on defense, linebacker, and someone to take Hobbs' spot opposite Samuel, another Hobbs hater. Could you see the Pats taking a quarterback with a mid-round pick or try to sign a veteran quarterback with experience if one is available? Keep up the good work. Andy is by far the funniest.
Woo!
Paul is the most informative.
Boo.
And Tom is the most opinionated and the most objective.
I don't think that's accurate. I think Tom makes Fred look objective sometimes.
I say
sometimes.
Because of that statement, we throw it all out, including the Fred
it's
sucks.
It's the opposite.
this Flacco, aren't they in the
Flacco
title game?
Flacco is very good, and yes, I was going to say,
we
you get a chance
him.
If you want. You can watch him Saturday night. I believe it's 8 o'clock Saturday night.
Are they playing?
Appalachian State.
Oh, yeah. Big matchup.
They will be decided underdogs.
I think my opinions on Matt Castle are well told. I had him as my surprise cut.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've
seen Flacco play
backup.
A couple of times, and he is good. I don't necessarily, unless he's really improved, I don't know if I would describe his arm as having a cannon, but he can play. He's a good player.
By the way, it's not arm strength that's hurting Castle.
He's a second-day guy. I mean, and without much.
I do think there'll be a different backup quarterback next year. I think there will be somebody, veteran, something, somehow, will be brought in.
Well, you know, at some point you got to time it so somebody's ready when Brady.
Well, I would think next year, my guess is you could see two new guys. Whether it's, I should say one new. Gutierrez may still be the young developing guy.
Right. But
somebody in between.
Yeah.
But you're right, and I think it was Ken that writes into our show all the time.
Ken and Canton?
Yeah.
Ken Rosenthal?
Yeah, him. He said, actually, he made the point earlier in the year.
He doesn't know players' names.
Yeah, and he rattles off an email.
He goes, oh, Rosenthal?
And that's who it is. That's the guy I'm thinking of. He wrote in the after cuts saying how it doesn't really matter now. He thought that Gutierrez was wasting a roster spot was his point because they really don't need a quarterback now. If something were to happen to Brady, you don't feel good with Castle. You don't feel good with Gutierrez. So it's kind of irrelevant. But, you know, realistically, it's like Fred said. You have to time it so 5, 6, 7 years, whatever you think it's going to be from now, when Brady's maybe starting to get to the downside and finishing up, then you're going to have someone like Matt Castle ready. So he thought that his point was they thought they were wasting a roster spot with Gutierrez. And I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Let's see. Daryl writes in, I can tell Anthony Smith was crying on the sideline after the game. He was burned 7 times, and all that trash talking sure didn't back him up. I love how Tom Brady was all in Smith's face after the first TD by Moss. I could just imagine what he said to him. Well, he guaranteed a win, and a 34-13 sure doesn't look like a win for them. It looks like a win for us and a bad loss for the number one defense in the NFL. I'm so glad everybody wanted us to lose because it sure didn't happen this week. I can't imagine how you guys were acting during the game. Oh, yeah, did you guys watch The Mist? What's The Mist?
Isn't that a movie?
I love to see people getting eaten to death by monsters. It's so funny to me. I have more than four good laughs a day. Can't wait to hear you guys laugh and talk about this past game. I haven't seen The Mist.
I don't know what The Mist is. I don't know what The Mist is.
They've been advertising it on TV. It looks good, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Stephen King.
I don't go to scary movies in the theater.
I don't either.
Except for Silence and the Lamb. That's the last scary movie.
Silence and the Lamb.
No, of the Lamb. I had that's the last scary movie I've seen in the theater. I don't like. I get scared.
I don't like scary movies, period. But I agree with you, Fred. I would rather not go to a.
I watch them at home.
I don't go to the movies anymore anyway. But
why would you? You get a big TV. You sit at home. It's way better.
All right. This next email comes to us from Mike.
Before you email, we read that. That's the Torch job, right?
Yeah.
Phenomenal email.
Mike's in North Attleboro.
But before you read that, I wanted to. I wanted to bring up because the last email was talking about what we were doing during the game. I think we would be remiss, Andy, if we didn't talk about how wound up Fred was at the start of that game.
Like no other. I have
been here 9 years with Fred, and I've been at every game alongside Fred with the exception of the Super Bowl.
No, there's only one other game I did that.
I've never seen you like that,
The Houston Texans game in Houston, I had a stand-up.
You were pretty nervous that day, too.
Yeah. But
this was
first
unbelievable.
Pass play of the game. They got Welker's shirt. They're not even calling.
But it was you got up and left your desk for a while.
What was that, Gary?
You're Bill Polian.
I couldn't take
you were, he was Polian. Very Bill Polian.
Until myself, if this is the way
Gary,
this game
until
is
they
go,
got the
I
game comfortable, he was very Polian-esque. Until the game, I just the emailer asked
you
us
were worked
what
up.
We were like. We all enjoyed the game. Like I said, I enjoyed the big plays, the double pass. I love that stuff.
Oh, I got into a rhythm.
But you were really, really uptight.
The first pass, and I see them. He's got a handful of Welker shirt and no call.
Yeah. And no call. And there's no call.
Here we go.
And the worst part is
Johnny Most. And
there's
no call.
They never replayed it. They never showed it again. No one else seemed to care except Fred.
But Fred was the only one who got up and left.
Even Welker wasn't as upset as Fred was.
Welker didn't even look at the ref.
And I didn't see it. All I saw was Welker stop awkwardly. So I think he probably was held.
I'd love to be able to argue on. I'd love to be able to argue with Fred
in my office if you want.
Did you watch the replay?
Yeah.
Just to watch that play. Just to watch
not
that
only
play,
did he have the shirt, it was stretched out.
See, I thought it was because
he
saw him
kind of
stop awkwardly.
Yeah.
And it was like, even if he wanted to stop, he couldn't have stopped the way he did.
And all I could think of is, oh, my God, they're just not going to call this crap again, and here we go.
See, I think that's the funny part to me is that the second play of the game, you were like, oh, God, you know, like the refs have really been bad to the Patriots.
They're terrible. The first three quarters of the Ravens
game, they
didn't call
anything. They're flat out bad.
Well,
to everybody.
I think when you have bad refs, it hurts the better team more than it does the
bad
team.
Okay, I'll give you that argument.
Anyway.
Refs like the weather.
This
great
much
equalizer.
Like a cookie.
Gary's got some headphones
you
on.
You joining the show?
No, you're not going to do it, Gary? No?
Not going to do it.
I'm
just listening.
I got you saved the date, by the way. All right?
For what?
For the, his...
For what?
Paul got it 2 weeks ago. Where you been?
Yeah, I did too.
I just got mine last week.
Evidently, he's on the B list.
It's the Carol Hardy delivery plan. Yeah.
His postman was reading it.
Let's see. Paul says, I download the show every day and I love it.
No, Mike says.
Oh.
Paul says.
Oh, he says that Paul is a fraud. That's
I
what
agree.
He's saying.
It's a fine job.
The only part of the show I don't like is when Paul speaks.
Yep. Me too. Me
he's,
too.
He's
that
not only terrible,
down.
He takes credit for everyone else's opinion.
Yep.
If I have to hear Paul say one more time, Andy and I have been saying since week two that the Patriots are going undefeated. I'm going to kill someone. Sorry, Paul. That's not how it went down.
I've been saying since week two, me and Andy, Patriots are going undefeated.
After the Chargers, see you, Mike. After the Chargers game, Andy said they would go undefeated, and Tom argued they wouldn't. Paul then said, I kind of agree with Tom just because it's so hard to do, or something like that. The next week after the Patriots defeated Buffalo was when Paul jumped on the undefeated bandwagon.
That Andy built.
1 week after Andy. Go back and listen, and if I'm wrong, I'll buy you guys lunch every week for a month.
Let's
stop
take a day
taking
with 31
credit
days.
For Andy's
load it up,
Paul.
Baby.
If you can, then so can Tom, because he's jumped on board 1 week after you did fraud.
Fraud.
All right. So let me repeat that. If you can, I will buy you lunch. What did he say?
I don't know. You have it in front of
me. I'll buy you guys lunch every week for a month.
Every day, by saying this can be heard on the 918 PFWM Progress broadcast 312.
Okay, 918. That's September.
That's the first 18th. Show after the San Diego game,
right?
Which was played on 916.
Okay,
so that was our first show after the San Diego game.
So let's hear it.
Fred, don't misunderstand that. That was total dominance, and I think
But they may have put up a fight at some point.
I'm with Andy here on the 16-0 bandwagon. I was as impressed as I've been with the Patriots in 4 years. I mean, that was
so I was first.
That was special stuff.
All right, so that's 918.
And by the way, that's in no way stealing your thoughts. I'm with Andy is not stealing your thoughts.
True. I'm the best.
Okay. That
besides the fact that Andy also said, Fred, and I think you can remember this, they have a much better shot of going 0-2 in their first games than 2-0.
That's right.
And I learned my lesson because once they were 2-0, I said, well, they're going 16-0.
All right. So
had
so
they slipped up and gone 0-2.
That's the kind of rational thought that you get.
So, Mike, you know, I would have read your email either way because we all love it when people make fun of Paul.
Right.
But what's fair is fair.
Fat,
you said
old.
If we could prove you wrong, you would buy us lunch every week for a month. We just proved you wrong.
Load it up, baby.
And if you don't believe us, go back in the archives
and
look at 918.
I'll even give you a break, Mike. You don't have to include the sub for me because I don't want anything from you anyway.
Ooh.
So you can buy it. Ooh. You can have an extra one, and you can give it to
Andy.
Mini Gary. Because he's the one that took the time and the effort to go out and prove you wrong.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
All
bitches.
Right.
I actually emailed Mike back because the other criticism.
You did?
Well, that one I had no problem with.
It bothers him.
read the next one. Read the next one, Fred.
All right. But
this is the one I have a problem with because I went into a whole thing on EEI where I said I was on the opposite side of the Lawrence Maroney argument.
Well, I wasn't going to read any more of the email. You want me to?
No, well, he says that, you
okay.
know,
then
Tom
he
and
said,
I...
He says, then okay. I'm listening to EEI, and who was on there saying Maroney stinks? Paul Perillo. The same Paul Perillo who has been arguing with Tom on PFW in Progress that we can't judge Maroney yet because we haven't seen enough of him. To make matters worse, Paul uses the same exact argument word for word that Tom used against him to make his point. Yet, he doesn't reference Tom once. He just steals his argument. I assume we'll be hearing the following from Paul pretty soon. Tom and I have been saying Maroney stinks since week 10.
Now you can stop there because you understand the gist of what he's saying. The
In
reason,
this show, that's called a Maury.
The reason that you heard Tom's argument word for word is because I said, I've been arguing about this on the other side with Tom on PFW in Progress, and he says, blah, 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 blah. That's why you're hearing the exact argument. I said, I'm wrong. He's right. I declared myself the loser of that argument on this show as well as on EEI. And now I've been kind of going back and forth with the people on the pregame show that, look, we can make all the excuses we want for why Maroney's not doing it, but he's not doing it.
All right,
Mike. And I said Tom is the one who says all of the things that he said. So you obviously didn't listen, and it really drives you crazy that in a month I'll be in Arizona at the Super Bowl covering the Patriots. And you'll be in your mother's basement.
Well, Mike, what's fair is fair. We proved you wrong. 918 show. Go check it for yourself. And I guess if you want to email in the show, we'll give you the directions on how to get lunch to us.
And it'd probably be easier for you if you just set it up with Papa Gino's to charge your account every day.
I'll just reply to that email with the information.
Right. Yeah. We'll be hearing from that guy again, I'm sure.
Doubtful. Oh, I think we will.
I don't. If I'm him, I'm never emailing again.
Why?
Because he has to buy us lunch.
Yeah, he can handle it.
How do you know?
I mean, you're wrong. You're wrong. What the hell?
I wouldn't know.
Just admit it and move on.
I've yet to be wrong.
Yeah, Andy wouldn't know. 0-2.
I
didn't say they were going 0-2. I said there was a better chance that they'd go 0-2 than 4-0.
You know the beauty of you? You'd still argue right now that there was a better chance. They overcame the odds.
Who knew that the Chargers were going to stink and the Jets too?
Several emailers sent in mathematical. You know,
they were flawed.
No, they weren't.
They were.
Well, obviously, you were.
Football isn't played on a little mathematical calculator.
You
grid.
Were wrong.
Football's played on a field with players and
you
talents.
All right. Let's see. Tammy is writing
hey,
in
Tammy.
From Buffalo. She's
Send
a first time emailer.
Wow.
She says,
why'd you change your voice there, you creep?
A female.
Every
listener.
Time we get a female, you guys have to just break down and lose it.
What did I lose? I was just laughing.
I just said,
at
hey,
him.
Tammy.
No, he was more like, hey, Tammy.
Send pics.
Love the show. Huge Pats fan, and I love Tom Brady. Started listening to you guys during the whole Spygate mess, and I have to say I'm hooked. I'm a female, and I don't find you guys offensive at all. I especially love it when
I'll
you guys...
try harder.
I love it when you guys go at each other. I don't get to listen to you live, but I do download the podcast and then listen at work. People think I'm crazy at work when I start laughing out loud with my headphones on. I wanted to get your thoughts on what transpired on Sunday. I heard that Mike Ditka got mad at Tom Brady for getting in Smith's face after the first touchdown. I listened to EEI's interview with Tom, and he stated that the guy was yelling at him as he was stretching even before the game started. Contrast that with LaDainian Tomlinson, Mr. Nice Guy, who looked disgusted when his own quarterback took a seat next to him at one point in their game against Tennessee. Which do you think is worse, a guy going after someone from the other team or a guy taking out his frustrations on a teammate?
I think they're both bad.
I lost.
Well, I don't know what happened with Rivers and Tomlinson. I did too. For all I know, Rivers did something really bad, so I don't know.
Well, it was play. It was part of the play.
Well, we don't know.
It was not good.
He was being a drama queen. He was making a show of it. He wanted to show the world that he was mad and sulking, especially a week after he had all these comments about class and Peyton, Walter Payton,
yeah,
and doing things the right way and how much respect he had for Walter Payton because he got through losses. And I think he's shown himself to not be a very good loser. And
things aren't going well in San Diego. They're struggling offensively. He's not having these gaping holes to run through this year.
And I'm a huge fan.
And I think he's handled it well.
I thought he was a classy guy. I thought he did everything
Thomas
pretty well.
Well, Thomas showed his colors after our win last year. So.
I think he told the truth after the win last
year. Well, that was a different story.
Now altogether. I think you add it up and you think you realize who he is.
But at the same time, I don't agree with that. I don't think what Brady did this week.
He's not a Patriot. He's not good.
I don't think what Brady did this week was exemplary behavior.
Well, he was down there celebrating with his own teammates. And
that's not what he did. He ran right after Anthony Smith.
Yeah, he went after Anthony Smith. But what was Ditka's problem with it?
He's just like, you know, you guys are the best team in the league. You're undefeated. Why are you chasing after this idiot safety who said something stupid?
Because my problem with it?
You need that stuff to motivate you. You're the best team in the league. He was just, I mean, Ditka was a moron, too. Don't get me wrong.
My problem with it is the same problem I have with Brady in blowouts. Somebody gets angry and decides they're taking a run at the guy who's been jawing at him in a blowout. He doesn't need any extra bullseyes on his back for any reason, because all this fun and big plays and dominance ends when he goes down.
I just thought that the Patriots didn't do that stuff.
Well, I've always known that they do.
Oh,
I just don't think
he should
be the one putting the bullseye on
him. They don't start it, but they end it.
I don't mind other guys having bullseyes on him, but him, if he gets a bullseye on him,
they
lose.
I thought they let that player on the field do the talking
for
him.
Can you stop saying things
that's
you don't really
believe?
That's what
they said.
But you don't believe it.
I'm quoting you the post-game
locker
room. You
don't believe
it. Rodney Harrison said that to me.
You don't believe it.
Yeah, but while you're letting your play do your talking, you can also talk. You just can't talk before. Let's see. Different TG is writing in. He said, Fred is a homer. Hello, fellow Douche Canoes.
Thanks.
I am a first-time emailer but a long-time listener. I wanted to speak for the other Pats fans in saying I believe we are happy that Craig hasn't called in a while.
Aww.
The first time I listened to PFW, I thought my grandma called into the show. Aww. Ellis Hobbs sucks, and so do the Irish. Wow.
Ellis Hobbs
Irish.
Wow, this TG's really mad.
Ellis Hobbs taking a lot of heat today.
I just don't understand it.
It's one of his better games. He only had one touchdown.
But he is what he is.
PJ says Andy is a douche canoe. This is the new thing
now. Can you stop for a second?
You kill somebody right in the subject line.
Can you stop for a second?
Yeah.
Didn't you think that he would be better than he was last year?
He should be.
Didn't you think the wrist bothered him last year?
Yes.
Didn't you have something?
I had a whole theory, and Bill shot that down when I asked him about it.
I don't think he's played better than he did last year.
I had a whole theory that he couldn't be physical, he couldn't clutch, he couldn't do anything you might need to do to, you know, gain an advantage at corner. And,
that's all I'm saying.
Bill shot that down, and apparently Bill was right because he stinks this year. Break his wrist. He might have a chance to cover somebody.
I just think back last year, Andy, to the first game when Bill had him lock up with Lee Evans. Now, maybe he did that because he wanted to make it easier for Hobbs, you know, in retrospect.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe Bill, I'm sure Bill had his reasons, but ostensibly he did that because he thought that he could handle the job and didn't really think there was much difference between him and Samuel at the time. Now, there couldn't be more miles apart between those two players.
I still say
it
goes back to when I asked him if there was a competition between he and Samuel for interceptions, and he said, yes, we like to keep track of that.
Since then, it's 16-1.
Since then, he's getting absolutely demoralized. He did make me laugh when he said about there's a fine line in the trash talking, and you don't say something that gets the whole East Coast after you or something when talking about Smith's comments.
Really?
Because somebody asked him, you know, you're a cocky guy, and he sort of alluded to, yeah, but even I know where the line is, and you getting a whole side of the country after you
is
a problem.
He is a cocky guy, but he is a very likable cocky guy.
And he's also smart about it. I think he does know where the line is.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Ellis Hobbs. I just don't think he's played that well.
Let's see.
And his mommy has to send him his shoes.
P. PJ says, great game on Sunday. I can't believe they may actually do it. I thought Eric's boy, worthless hot dog, which is his worst joke ever, was the final hurdle. I have a question. Will the Pats celebrate at Giants Stadium for going 16-0? Or will they treat it like they didn't do anything yet because
that's
they haven't won the Super Bowl? How do you guys think they'll handle it? Pop champagne corks, run around with jockstrap and a box on their head?
No.
What do you guys think? Also, I used the title I did because I know Jake Steele likes emails that rip Andy, and for some reason you guys seem to like the word douche canoe. Anyway, if I am hearing this, the title seemed to work.
Yep, it did.
What do you think about that, Fred?
I do think they will celebrate.
I think they'll... But what, jump up and down.
The manner in the celebration. How, I mean,
I
how
jump up and down.
How much more than a regular game do they celebrate?
By the time the media gets into the locker room, it'll be just like any other game.
So you don't think they're going to celebrate then?
I think they'll
Among
celebrate.
Themselves, they will. Yeah,
but the same as every other game. You're saying if it's going to be done in 10 minutes?
Well, no. On the field, they might.
They
jump
celebrate
around
every
more.
Game that they win.
Yeah,
it'll be a step up from a t-shirt and hat game.
It's not at home. Like they won't be able to like go to the
evidently. Minnie Gary thinks it's going to be fireworks at the Meadowlands.
That's another one, by the way, he's pulled out that I've never heard.
Yeah, that's true. He's very proud of himself today.
I think if the game
he
was
could at, do no wrong in my book, though.
I think if the game was at Foxborough, that they'd be going to the crowd a little bit more. And
that's true, too. It is on the road.
It's on the road, so, you know.
And no one's watching because it's on NFL Network.
That's true, too.
What difference does it make who's watching?
I don't know. Maybe they'll figure there's like 10 people watching. Why celebrate?
I think
they have
be
the
different.
Divide. They have the bye week there. They have the perfect way. You know, one of our goals is obviously every year you try to win every regular season game. No one has ever accomplished that. We were able to do it. We're going to celebrate this tonight, and then tomorrow it's turn the page towards the second week of the playoffs.
I do think there's a little bit more than the regular win, but at the same time, you know, the bye is already achieved. The division was already achieved. The bye is already achieved. By that time, the home field will be locked up. So they're really not getting anything that day other than the 16th win in history. They'll celebrate it, but I don't think there'll be champagne corks or anything like that.
No.
Owen from Belfast, Ireland,
drunk.
Just wondering what you guys
Potatoes.
Thought on the Pats' run defense on
Vodka.
Sunday. I didn't think it was great myself. However, I think the Steelers were stopped for no gain a number of times and picked up a lot of garbage yards in the last two drives when the Patriots were playing a lot of prevent defense.
I thought they did pile on the yards at the end of the game. I thought the fourth quarter, anything Pittsburgh got in the fourth quarter, to me, qualifies as garbage yards.
Prevent defense.
He also wants to know if any of us...
It was only one drive, by the way.
Sepulveda.
That they ran the ball in the fourth quarter. Patriots had the ball most of the fourth quarter.
He also wants to know if anyone watched the Mayweather-Hatton fight.
Nope.
I didn't.
Saw the highlights.
Is Hatton Irish?
He pounded him.
Mayweather did?
Mayweather just pounded him.
But he gave a lot of praise to Hatton. He said he kept coming
back.
Well,
he's tough.
Yeah.
He's definitely tough.
Is he Irish?
I don't know. Where's he from?
English, I think.
English?
English. Tom rocks. Andy sucks. Paul and Fred are cool while Eric's just a fool.
Tom rocks, Andy. So I like that.
Must have typed that up before he got drunk. Otherwise, it wouldn't have rhymed.
Paul, make sure that Owen said that Eric's a fool. I mean, what's his name? Chris Ferreira. Make sure you tell Eric.
Oh, Chris, make sure that they're ripping Eric, so make sure you tell him.
Eric's not here, though. So.
Oh, that's true.
Let's see. JD says, I was going to title it I Hate Andy.
Hey.
But instead, it's the Paul Kirsch Fan Club. But he doesn't hate Andy.
Oh,
I like all of your opinions. Since I imagine this will be part of a few hundred emails of, oh, my God, what a game, I will ask just two questions which you may have addressed by the time you get this. Unfortunately, I could only listen to the game since the team here was playing at home, so maybe the answer is obvious. One, vaunted Pittsburgh run game. Did it look like the Patriots corrected some of the defensive problems seen in the Ravens game against the run?
It was better than the Ravens game, yes.
It was better.
Better than the Ravens game, yes. But I still have some concerns there. I don't know how you got it.
And
yes.
Two, what should the Patriots be concerned about in the playoffs? And that's it. That's
losing.
Well, come on. You can't do better than that.
I have more concerns still about the pass defense and somebody throwing their way to victory against the Patriots than somebody lining up and running their way to victory.
Okay. Robert Lindwall has an email that he... felt he needed to send 15 times. I'll just read one of them.
Maybe he made a mistake and something.
No,
you know,
it was
stuck.
He has a different header each time. Just I don't know why he did.
Sounds
that.
Like Robert Lindwall.
Did you notice that, Dan? Yeah, Dan.
Cuckoo.
Dan's shaking his
cuckoo.
Head. Anyway, he says, I know the whole Spygate thing is going to be brought up a lot this week, and for what it is worth, I thought I would just throw in my 2 cents and see what you guys think. I know Bill cheated, and there is no excuse for that. But the fact that it was the Jets and Mangini that revealed to the world Bill's little camera problem bewildered me. The tape may have come from the Jets GM, as Fred thinks. But doesn't anybody think that Mangini would have had some sway in whether or not to report the cheating? Bill accepted Mangini's heartfelt letter from Australia, where the guy had got his first taste of coaching from a club gridiron team and offered him a ball boy job for the Browns. After slowly working his way up through internships, minor assistance roles, and coordinator positions, all thanks to Bill, isn't his son named after Bill or something, his dreams finally come true. He let Spygate happen to Bill. This could have ruined Bill's career. Bill has many faults, but this man disgusts me. And this is Rob from Brisbane, Australia.
Man genius.
Are the facts of that email accurate?
I know he was working in Australia.
I thought he was a PR department intern. Bill got to know him through clips. When he found out he was done in PR, that's when he brought him over to some sort of football job. That was my understanding. And he had coached in Australia. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I also don't know.
His only head coaching job before
I also don't know the behind-the-scenes information as to how it all unfolded.
Well, Fred's pretty confident he was the general manager, right?
Are you?
I am pretty confident that that was released through the front office of the New York
That's
Jets.
What I've been
and
told.
And the decision
but,
of Mike Tenenbaum.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Now, was that the decision that was made with the knowledge, with Mangini's knowledge, or was it Mangini's directive?
Well, it was definitely Mangini.
Did he not know anything about it?
Let's look for this.
Well, but he knew it was happening, right. But that's not the same thing as blowing the whistle.
No, it isn't. But, well, why?
So,
yeah, it is. It is the same thing as blowing
no, it's
no,
not.
It isn't. What if, yeah, it is.
Fred, what if he said, listen, let's be on the lookout for this. We know what's going to happen. Let's put a stop to it. Don't, you know, that's it. And then Tannenbaum, okay. There it is. And then he goes to the league. Mangini was like, what'd you do that for?
Okay, well, that could have happened.
Right. I don't know. And I'm not saying that did happen. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it was all Mangini, and he deserves all the rat talk that he gets. But I'm just saying it's plausible that he said, I know they're doing this. Put a stop to it. And all of a sudden they went and turned it into the league. And he's like, I just want you to put a stop to it. What are you doing?
I thought Mike Felger made an interesting.
Here's the thing, though. Now, remember, this whole thing happened during the game. They took this kid. They brought, you know, they interrogate him, blah, blah, blah. But that was it. Then it got released to Dan Lieberfeld. Remember, no one had this story.
No, it was Dan Pompey on Fox.
No.
Lieberfeld had the first
Lieberfeld
story.
Lieberfeld had it first.
Really?
The head of security for the New York Jets tipped off Dan Lieberfeld.
Okay,
Dan Lieberfeld
apologies.
Had it, and then, of course, everyone picked it up.
Right.
But that was leaked that night. To Dan Lieberfeld.
But
so,
it was going to go to the league either way, right?
Yeah, but it would have been.
Wasn't like because of that story.
I thought by the time we got home, we had already seen stuff on TV. Now, that came off of Jets.
No, we didn't learn until
Monday Confidential.
Jets Confidential.
Was the only one that had the first initial link to it, a short story.
Yep. This was leaked.
I'll take you guys' word for it. I thought for sure that when we were driving home that night, people were talking about it.
No, this was leaked.
Well, they may have been. If so, it was from that.
This was leaked to a trusted, you know, person.
Dan Lieberfeld, yeah.
Yep.
I've talked to him many times.
No, I know Dan and stuff. I just didn't.
I like Dan. I've known him for a long time, and if I would do the same thing he did, I'd go with this story.
Oh, of course
you
would.
Absolutely.
But my thing is, Felger made a great point. This all happened in the first quarter and halftime it was known about.
That's right.
And everybody wants to say, well, what happened? Belichick shook Mangini's hand after the game. Like, this didn't become as big an issue
until it got into the press.
So I actually think Mangini was involved on the let's stop this level. This is just my opinion.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it snowballed, and I think Mike Tannenbaum's the guy who said, no, we're turning this into the league. I think Mangini was involved on a one-game level.
I think you're missing the point I'm trying to make. This would not have been even a big deal if it had been turned into the league. There's a lot of stuff. That the league
you don't
gets,
think the league would
that,
have taken away the first
that,
round pick
that
and
fines happen and stuff like that, but this went to the press and they made such a big deal about it.
So you're saying they wouldn't even have been the punishment that they had?
Maybe
a fine that we didn't even know about?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Theory. Wrong, I think, but
it's because it went to the press.
Interesting.
So that would sort of poo poo any theory that the commissioner was upset because he had reprimanded them before and specifically said not to do it.
No, but I think because that all came out, he had to do something.
No, I know, but if he was pissed off, he would have levied the same fine regardless.
I mean, look at all the, you know, there's so much stuff that teams do that, mm-hmm. you know, tampering. We know that teams tamper, but, you know,
absolutely.
And I'm sure in the background, Goodell or Tagliabue before him had talks with teams, say, look, we know what you did. Don't do it again. We've got our eye on you. Don't do it. You know, that stuff happens all the time.
And everybody knew the Patriots
tape. This would go in their in that bucket.
But everybody knew the Patriots were doing this. It was reported multiple times before.
That's the difference.
That they
here.
Were reprimanded, caught. You know, the Packers
well, we
should shoot
them
away.
Green Bay.
There was like
but
three or four incidents.
And the thing is, I'm sure that, you know how you always say that everybody's doing it, Fred. And I'm sure there are a lot of teams that are doing it. But the difference here is someone actually caught them in the act. And turned it in.
Yes.
Just like tampering, I'm sure that Goodell says, I know that everybody's doing it. But now I have an example. I caught you in the act of tampering. Now
right.
I have to do something
right.
about it.
Now I have hard evidence. A team has decided to go on record, by the way.
Right.
That's the other thing. You got to have another team willing to sell out another team or coach or whatever.
I think that was all Tannenbaum's decision.
And I think you're right. It
could
have been.
I find that funny. I mean, they must be pretty tight then, Mangini and Tannenbaum, because Tannenbaum isn't taking a hit. His reputation
right.
isn't taking a hit from this. Eric Mangini is taking a major hit
right.
for this nationally.
Well, they might not be tight anymore.
And someone made a good point.
But I can't believe that he has. I'm saying they must be pretty tight because no one's come out and written that the anger is directed at Mangini and that's really not where it should go. If that's the case, again, we're speculating. We don't know that.
Well,
but if that's the case, don't you think Mangini would somehow get somebody in New York
would.
To defend him?
Chris Russo was on radio today.
I heard a little
with
of
John.
That.
Did you hear that? He said, you know, really, you know, we know that Belichick has hated the Jets for a long time, but really the regime is different. The guy that Belichick hated the most from the Jets is gone. I forget his name, the one that
Steve
called him
something?
Insane. Yeah.
Steve Gutman?
Steve yeah. Gutman. He's gone.
What I think we just saw was a man in turmoil.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Belichick still, you know, is kind of mad that they went after Deion Branch. He's kind of mad that, you know, Mangini told the press that they changed the locks on him after he accepted the Jets' job. But Tannenbaum is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I think, Chris Russo forgot about that. Tannenbaum's a holdover from that regime.
But wasn't he a lower level? He was like a cap intern.
Capologist
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, he was.
He sort of worked his way up, so I'm not sure that there would be any.
But I know I there's still some lingering hatred.
Lingering.
on the phone is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, great. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, John.
Hey, I got a couple of questions for you guys, and I'm sure you might not know the answer, but I'm going to ask them anyway. My two questions is, when the Patriots go undefeated this season, are you guys going to have a DVD for that?
If they have an undefeated season that ends in a Super Bowl, I am sure they will have a DVD for that.
For the whole season?
If they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it won't be every game. It'll be like the others, right? Like the footage and...
Well, I don't know. I think it might be extended. It might be four discs instead of three. You know?
19 games to history.
Whatever.
And my other question is... when the draft comes this year, I think the Patriots might be trading down at their San Francisco pick.
I would agree with that.
Who do you think that the other teams out there that might be down and got the current position in San Francisco, which I think is like 4 or 5?
Well, the Cowboys are the obvious one because they have two picks there.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be tough. It's not going to be easy to trade down.
No.
Teams are a lot less likely, less willing to trade up now. Because
can you imagine
for the same reasons the Patriots are probably interested
right.
in getting out of there.
But I can't imagine the Patriots taking that pick.
I can't either.
I can't. I really can't either. The only reason why I hold the door open because I look at the way Belichick does things. And
you just don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not that you don't know. It's that he doesn't close his mind to anything.
Yeah.
You know,
I think this would be as close as anything because
yeah,
I think he'd rather sign that contract that's going to be $50 million to a guy that's never played a single snap.
I'd rather spend it on stalwart. I mean,
well, I think that's
Asante Samuel.
I think
that's
the
point
the
of Andy's commentary.
It's
from
not
last,
only
last
you
month,
have to pay him,
week.
But a guy like Samuel or, say, Wilfork or any –
right.
Whoa, you can't pay me, but you can pay this punk who hasn't done anything,
right.
$50 million?
They need to do something about that.
Yes.
Because it's hard for the bad
worst
teams.
Worst aspect of the game.
It makes it even harder for the bad teams to get better. Because not only you have to hit with that pick, but it really, in a lot of ways, hamstrings you.
And you're not getting,
right.
even
you're
if he's as good
guy.
As he's supposed to be, then you're getting him basically at market value. You don't get a steal there. If the guy is as
none
great
of this rookie
as
contract
be,
stuff, because
he's getting $60 million. If Vince Young, say he has this great year next year, and you say, "Wow, they found their quarterback. That worked out for him."
He hasn't been a bargain.
He's still making $60-something million.
I think everyone agrees that they need to do something.
Get
the
rid
only
of it.
Group that doesn't is the agents, and the question is how much leverage do they have to prevent that?
Yeah, it's a good
you
question,
know revamping of the system.
I don't gotta get rid of it.
I don't know the answer to it, but
it's
really
unfair, flat out unfair.
I think it really hurts the bad teams from getting better because it is. It's like giving a boatload of money to an unrestricted free agent, and then even if the guy works out, like Andy said, like Jamarcus Russell could be a 5-time Pro Bowler the next 6 years. Okay,
and he's paid basically market value, no
less. You're not getting a bargain out of him.
And he has to be that
He'd
to
have
make
to
market
be that
value
good to make you know to earn that.
That's
contract.
What's so terrible, and I think it hurts other. I mean, a guy like Vince Wilfork, who should be coming up on huge money, would benefit if there wasn't so much money allotted to Dorsey. Say, basically, he and Dorsey could be trying to work deals at the same time. Dorsey never proven a thing. Vince Wilfork maybe on the verge of a Pro Bowl nose tackle. That why are they being compared? They shouldn't be. So I like the NBA, how they've started to do it with those slotted 3-year deals, and you can extend it. And
it's slotted, but the
I
money
like
is a lot more
right.
realistic
I love it.
In terms of the way the rest of the league is.
Now, theirs is ridiculous on the other end, where
what
they
if, what
sign
if,
max
what if
deals for these chumps
that,
in year five that yeah. are...
What if you did something that rookie contracts don't count against the cap?
I don't like that either, because
no,
I still
getting the
my
money.
Problem is still Quinn Dorsey's going to get money that should go to Vince Wilfork.
Glenn Dorsey.
Who's Quinn Dorsey?
I think he's
a
linebacker used
to
play
cap,
for us.
Then it's up to
defensive
the owner,
end linebacker. Type.
You know, the owner doesn't have to worry about
no,
it.
No, but my bottom line is I want the money going to the proven player, not the unproven guy. I want the cold, hard dollars. I don't even care about the cap as much. It's not fair that Jamarcus Russell makes a gazillion dollars and Derek and you know, I want that money to go to guys that prove themselves, that can play in the National Football League.
Let's see. Buzz in Gilbert, Arizona says, "Sup, bitches."
Sup, the Buzz.
I want to know if a team chooses to kick a field goal on third down and misses, do they get a fourth down and get to kick it again?
Not if they actually kick the ball.
Yeah, right. Once the ball is kicked, it goes over to the other team. However, if they get a penalty or they muff it,
snap.
Then they get another attempt.
If it's a bad snap, yeah, it would be just a bad – it would be an unsuccessful third down play, and they would go on fourth down.
And they'd kick from further away.
But once you kick the ball, that – you lose the right to kick again.
Sam from Denmark, what an entertaining week. Poor little Ben got first KO'd by Big Vince, and then he got big showed by Adalius Thomas. The way Logan Mankins owned James Harrison was mean. Anthony Smith got burned so badly his voice of guarantee should be used as a fire alarm. Finally, the wait for the Jets week is over. I think initially Belichick will approach this game just as a normal one, but once the Pats put the first 35 points in the game, he will get personal with Mangini, or he calls him Mangina, and run up the score as much as he can. My prediction, Pats win 77-0. The Jets won't cross the Pats 40-yard line. So,
you know, I kind of agree with that philosophy. I don't know about the 77 points, but I think that they can talk all they want about this being another game, and I think they will approach it that way. But I think that once they get into that second half and they have a huge lead, look out.
See, I think they're not going to score.
I think they're going to paste it on.
I think they're going to do things that are disrespectful.
Well, that's the first time that they ever would not have done that.
See,
I
think they go the other way. I think they might have fourth and one, and they just take a knee and say, we can do whatever. Toy with them. Just show, you know, I think it's that much more.
They have Randy Moss line up at quarterback.
Yeah, just screw with the game and say, we're just screwing around because you're not worth our time.
Make it a Sandlot game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they might be doing some of that stuff, but I think they'll be trying to score points on them.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Matt from Quincy, last I heard the line for the Jets is about 24 points. I'm telling you right now, if I was ever going to empty the bank account and take the points, this would be the time.
I wouldn't.
With the whole storyline and all the hype surrounding the game, the Pats are a sucker bet if I ever saw one, and I'm not even a gambler. The weather report alone suggests this game is going to be a tractor pull. I have no doubt the Pats will win, but I really think this will be a close game for quite a while.
That's
Also, I got a kick out of Lawrence Maroney getting credit for moving the pile on the carry where he got first down. If you watch the play closely, he actually gets lifted off the ground by his own lineman and carried across the yellow line. It's the football version of crowd surfing. Instead of Kool-Aid, they should start calling him Peter Pan. By the way, do you think Randy Moss really thinks the offensive coordinator's name is Josh Daniels?
Possibly.
He kept calling him Josh Daniels?
Well, I heard it once in his press conference. He said it was a great play call on the double pass by Josh Daniels.
Wow.
course, everywhere I saw it written, everybody put the Mick in for him.
Which, see, I find that funny because they never correct them in other ways.
Something.
Right. That, you know, because guys sometimes...
That's because they're protecting Randy Moss because they don't want to disrupt the apple cart.
No, I know, but I do that all the time.
Team newspaper, the New England Patriots.
No.
Not Patriots Football Weekly, but
Andy,
others.
Absolutely, I would have written Josh McDaniels. I do that all the time. I tell you,
The official team newspaper. We should.
But I think it's funny that the papers generally don't do that. They quote the guy verbatim because I think they're trying to make the guy look bad. And I'm surprised that in a case like that, they would choose not to do it.
I think they're trying to protect everything that's going on here. But when I was transcribing, I yelled to Tom that this was this year's version of member Willie McGinnis yelling across the locker room, tell Dean I'll try to make it to the meeting. That was the level of disrespect this year is he doesn't even know the poor guy that's got him catching 1,200 yards worth of passes.
You know, I think because this game is kind of special and everyone wonders how the Patriots are going to handle it, we should do a contest. I think if you send in your score, what you think the score will be, send it in. We'll put those emails aside. We won't read them on air. And then next year, if anyone hits the score exactly, it's not closest. You got to hit it exactly. If anyone hits the score exactly, we'll send you a nice Patriots United coffee table book. What's so funny?
You were lying your ass off.
What's so funny? No, I will send them.
And they are perfect for balancing out your coffee table. One leg is broken.
Matter of fact, he'll send you and your 10 closest friends a coffee.
I'll actually have the author, Brian Morey, sign it because he's starting.
If you have a truck, he'll give you a case of them. He'll just put it right in the back.
Brian Morey is starting work on Monday.
I know. Believe me.
Thank God I won't be here Monday.
So we'll have him sign. But so send in your exact score. We're not going to read it.
Who farted?
And if anyone hits it on the nose, We'll send you a nice Patriots United book.
Nice. Just told my coworker to listen to PFW
nice.
In Progress.
He
gave me the bird.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Dan writes in, do you think karma is associated with 0-13 Miami and 13-0 New England? The records are mirror images of each other. I'm afraid if Miami wins a game, then the Patriots will lose one. I'd like nothing better than to rub it in Don Shula in Don Shula's, I think he left
face.
Out face. When the Pats go undefeated. By the way, have you heard from Jennifer in Chicago lately?
No. It's been a long time.
No.
She was one of our original female listeners.
And by the way, Dan is an Atlanta Falcons season ticket holder.
I get the whole
Sorry
zero
about
thing.
That.
You know, you got to have balance in the universe, the yin and the yang, or however that stuff works.
If there's ever going to be a year that someone is going to go undefeated, you got to balance it out with a winner's
team. And as I said to you the other day, it's actually what they need for parity. Because a 16-0 needs an 0-16 to average out to 8-8.
There you go.
Yeah, see what I did there.
Pat is from Hawaii, and he says
Tremendous.
He has to travel to the East Coast during the divisional playoff weekend, January 12th, 13th. I do not want to miss the first Patriot playoff game, so I guess I need to roll the dice on which day to travel, Saturday or Sunday. Is there a logical way I can predict which day they will play so I don't miss the game? Do higher seeds play on Sunday? So, Quest, do we know?
I don't think there's a logic to that. My guess is the Patriots are going to be playing the Saturday night game.
Oh, yeah, there is logic to that. I would Saturday night, I would bet. Yeah, I was forgetting about that. That primetime game. That they want them in the night game. That's the marquee game. I bet you the Patriots will play that game.
No. I think that they'll get that game, too. But is a formula that the number one seed gets that game in the AFC?
No, that's the better game.
Oh, no, okay. So there's no formula.
No, that's just the better game.
He's looking to see if there's any... like
It's not like title weekend.
Like, you know the Thanksgiving thing with Detroit and Dallas? It has to alternate.
Yes.
I think he's looking for that. And I'm not sure there's any rhyme or reason to it.
I would travel Sunday.
Okay.
But I do agree with you that the Patriots are going to play that set. The first playoff game, in my mind, will be that Saturday night game here at Gillette. Whatever, on the 13th? January 13th, maybe?
12th, I think.
12th, okay.
On the phone is Nelson from New Hampshire. Nelson, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Nelson?
Good.
I'm sorry. I just got home, and I wasn't listening to the podcast. And is Tom not there yet?
Tom is
not in today.
Oh, he's not. Okay. Well, I was calling mostly to find out what he thought of the Dallas game and how he thought the refs kind of played out that game a little bit. I thought that there was kind of a missed call early on in the game where I think Romo had fumbled the ball, and the center had fallen on it. What's his name?
Garrod.
Yeah. He had fallen on it, but he never actually looked like he actually had possession of the ball when he fell on it. And Detroit came out of the pile with it, and nothing really was said about it, and they didn't really show any too many replays of it, and it's not like they were talking about, you know, should Detroit call a, you know, throw out the red flag and challenge it.
I thought Gerard recovered that fumble.
You thought he did?
Yeah, I think he may have lost it at the bottom of the pile, but that doesn't matter. If they rule that he recovered it, it's their ball. It's not who comes out of the pile with the ball the time.
Well, because to me it kind of reminded me of the Super Bowl with the Patriots when Brady had fumbled a handoff. He had kind of fallen on the ball, but he never had control of it. I thought it was just kind of similar to that, you know.
I don't remember a fumble for the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Was that the one I wasn't at, Fred?
Which one?
It was only one. Against the Eagles. It was the one I wasn't at.
You could have watched it.
I did watch it. I don't remember a fumble. Do you?
I was like a mile and a half away sitting with Andy Rooney.
Talk about tired, broken records.
Oh, I know.
I was sitting in the cruise ships parked
near
the stadium.
You know what I hate?
Yeah. It must have been really bad. You're sitting next to Andy Rooney.
Yeah. It's tough.
The guy's dead.
I know, but it's not like he's a nobody.
No, I know.
I don't know. I don't remember a fumble in that.
Okay. Well, I just thought the plays were kind of similar. I thought, you know, just
no,
because,
I think
you know,
I said that, Andy.
Another team to come up with the fumble.
I will say that Tom didn't get a chance to see a ton of that Dallas game because of some really odd rules here at Gillette Stadium that do not allow more than one game to be on a TV at the same time in the press box.
Is Gary in charge?
He was watching
TV?
The Dallas game for a while, Nelson, and all of a sudden a guy came over and changed the channel and said that all the games have to be on the same TV. Tom wasn't happy. Just so
now,
you
Gary's
know.
In charge of game day entertainment. Would that include the TVs in the press box?
No, and apparently it doesn't include entertainment either.
Oh.
Hey, I have another really quick question. I kind of meant to call in a while ago, but there was Denver had played a Monday night game, and I don't know if you guys caught the Monday night countdown on ESPN, but they had a little thing on Dre Bly, and he was showing off his house, and on his mantle, he had a Lombardi trophy.
Yep.
And I didn't know if that was like something he had done personally or maybe the team had done for themselves.
I don't have an answer, but I had the same question because I saw that and I was like, "Hey, how did he get his own Lombardi trophy?"
Yeah,
I'm guessing he paid for
me,
it.
She's like, "Isn't there only one trophy that they hand out?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is, but I'm like wondering if maybe that was something, you know, the team maybe instead of rings."
Well, actually, you're not allowed to make facsimiles of that.
Right. My guess is he just had it made by somebody.
Yeah.
Probably not even on the up and up.
Really? Yeah. I was kind of figuring, I'm like, you know, what if one of those came onto the open market? I wonder how much you could actually get for it if it's just like a, you know, more of a memento.
Now,
right. So my guess is he didn't get it through Tiffany's makes the real one. My guess is he didn't get it through Tiffany's. He just found somebody who's a skilled silver worker and made one.
Fred, well, yeah.
All right. See you, Nelly. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Nelson.
Thanks, man. Yep.
Is the Lombardi Trophy like the Stanley Cup in that there's only one?
No.
Or is there one different one for every year?
There's one for every year. There's
one different one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there's three here, so I didn't know if they were, like, made.
No, there's one per
year. And there's
year.
Actually one real one.
Tiffany's
and they make
only
one
makes
the...
one per year. That's my understanding. So there's 30, okay. 41. How many are we through now? 41.
Going to 42 now, right?
Yeah. So there's 41 real Lombardi Trophies out there made by Tiffany's because they do that whole thing every year. I think, you know, the day that Tiffany starts making it, they put out the release with how much it weighs and how they – but as I said, I think if you knew how to make that kind of stuff, couldn't you sort of use that information and get some silver and make a mold and make one that would look exactly
plus,
like
let's
it?
Let's face it. I mean, does it really have to be perfect? I mean, as long as – I mean, it's
this,
not –
Well, this one looked
no, but what I'm saying
pretty
is,
perfect.
It's not
it was
exactly,
shining. It was glimmering.
For a guy, it's not a complicated –
Thank you. That's what I'm talking
trophy.
About.
Right.
For a guy who knows how to make something – I mean, it's not all that complicated.
They didn't break the mold when they made that one.
It's just a football with that little triangular kind of stand.
Russell in UK says, I know a Steelers fan who keeps telling me they would have won if Vrabel hadn't been offside on like five plays when it looked to me like he was just timing the snap. Could you guys see if he was offside? Sometimes it looks, though, as they were, then instead they've just got off the ball real quick, like when DeMarcus Ware was called for that offside against Green Bay. And also, how come you guys didn't tell us Christine Acra was a Heat dancer?
She I think we did.
Yeah.
I think early on when she came here,
I'm pretty sure Fred mentioned that, but that's the kind of stuff that I like from fans. Pittsburgh, we would have won the game if they called Mike Vrabel offside. I think that he...
He was close.
I think he was offside a couple of times, but, you know, come
on. That wasn't
the 34-13.
Let's see. Brad from Dover, New Hampshire. I was wondering if you had any idea if the Pats would play the divisional game on Saturday or Sunday. Again,
Saturday.
We don't know.
Fred, you haven't gotten into
that yet.
He loves
the show, except for Eric.
I agree.
Fred.
What's that?
Get on that.
On whether it's Saturday or Sunday.
I wouldn't, Fred,
effort
if I
that.
Were you.
What do we care?
Why not?
I wouldn't be calling anyone with the name Kraft for a while.
Effort that, will you please?
I'm in trouble.
Not anymore.
He's in trouble. Can we keep him out of trouble? Because when he's in trouble, we're in trouble.
First of all, we're always in trouble.
Yes, I know. And our strength is Fred. And when Fred's weakened, we're out.
Cut the head off.
Let's see. Who is this? This is Dave in Storrs, Connecticut.
I like Dave.
What store is he in?
He says, hello, Peckerwoods. And hello, Gizmo, son of Kraft, Chicken Legs Hart, Fonzie Perillo, and Fright Night Casale.
Fonzie.
I'm in my school library, kind of studying for finals and trying to listen into the show with my headphones. The game against the Steelers was just what the doctor ordered. I think it helped alleviate my fears about Moss's play in the cold with some of the big plays he made. My question is, how do you think the defense played? I think the run defense was much better than indicated because many of those yards had come when Pittsburgh had given up near the end of the game, but I don't understand why there are so many big plays. I saw one play where they even brought Sanders into the box, and he was completely blocked out of the play. The pass defense looked all right, and I see Bill got the memo from me on taking Hobbs off kick returns. Now, I'm not overly concerned because I think you ultimately need to throw and score a lot of points to beat the Pats, but the line needs to command more attention versus teams for the Pats to have the best chance to win.
The line needs to play better.
I think the defensive line did play better.
They played better.
I thought it was better than Baltimore.
Will Fork was significantly better.
He was tremendous.
Seymour, I think, is still.
He showed up a little, but
I still want to know what's going on. He rotates? I see him go to the sideline, put his wool cap on, and make it clear he's not coming.
It's
in
like
for
you
a while.
Said during the game. He can't be healthy.
He can't be. I saw him stretching his left knee significantly. So I'm guessing there's still something bothering him there, and that's unfortunate.
But the run defense was better than Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also a little – I'm just looking at the fourth quarter here, okay? The Steelers ran the ball six times in the fourth quarter. Okay, they ran it three times on a drive that they went from their own 22 to the Patriots' 21. They ran it three straight plays for 7, 10, and 4. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. 7, 10, and 7. Okay, so 24 yards. And then when the game was over and they were just running out the clock, Davenport ran it for 2, 4, and 14. They ended up with 181 yards on the ground. It wasn't all like when the game was over at the end of the game. They did a better job than they did against McGahee, to be sure. But there's still, I think, a little reason for concern there. Don't you guys think?
Sure. Yep.
But I still have more fears.
I mean, they had 150 yards on the ground. That's still a lot.
Josh in Akron says, what a huge win. When you live in Akron and are surrounded by a bunch of Pittsburgh fans, it's nice to walk around campus with my Patriots hat and hoodie on. One question, what do you feel about Tom Brady's comment on the radio show when he responded to Anthony Smith? He was quiet all week about it, and then he tells his true feelings after the game. We Pats fans out here in Akron listen to you all the time. Keep up the great show.
No, we love Akron.
Well, I think
we're big in Akron?
We're huge in Akron.
I think once
Pat McManaman.
Once the game is over, you say what you feel, like Brady did. But the problem with it, this goes out to Tom Brady or anyone else. If you say before the game the stuff doesn't matter, but then after the game it's obvious that it did, now you're blowing your cover for the next time.
But that's what they do all along, and it doesn't change anything for them.
But
the
we know time, that it matters.
But
every
we know
time.
This all along.
Every time.
They don't care what we know.
I also
they
think
still
they
tell
said
us what
more,
they want to say.
I also think they said more during the week about that than
well,
I thought they
well, Rodney
would.
Rodney did.
No, I don't mean Brady. I mean they as a team.
Yeah, Rodney did.
I thought, I don't think there was anything wrong with what they said. I just think that they addressed it more than I thought they would.
Yeah.
About that. And clearly, it was a big bone of contention because after the game you had direct comments from Brady, Harrison, and Bill himself two times. Bill called him, we've played against much better safeties than that in the past, and then also added up by saying.
That's very unlike Bill.
Right. The play there,
Because the season's not over. It's not like this is a Super Bowl win and you turn back the clock, you wait 8 months. They could see the Pittsburgh Steelers in whatever it is, 6 weeks from now. So. There's a chance for Anthony Smith to rub that comment in his face, and we know Bill doesn't like to give anybody anything like that.
Yep, I agree. It was odd to me that he would do that.
That said, I enjoyed it.
No, I thought it was great. But you can tell when he knows that he really shouldn't say something because he kind of mumbles it.
Right.
And, you know.
So when I asked him tomorrow, Bill, you took a little bit of a shot at Anthony Smith. No, what I says was at that moment, I thought there were better safeties in football. And if you notice, no one was playing at that exact time that I said those words. So to be fair, there were no better.
The play at that position was inviting.
What are you looking for?
And then,
I don't know.
I don't say that anymore, Gary. He's questioned me twice in the last two times I've answered questions, and I've fired back.
The question is, why does he keep questioning you?
John says I'm the only one with stones to ask him a real question. You... Powder Puff Perillo, why don't you lob up a bigger softball?
John, that's the answer I was looking for, didn't I?
John says, I was at the game, couldn't be happier to hear all those loud voices and yellow shirts silence. It was a great game, and I was thrilled, but shouldn't the refs call penalties no matter what the score? It was getting a bit ridiculous. The three I saw that were frustrating were Welker already out of bounds gets popped, Brady takes a forearm to the head, WWE style, and not to mention late. In the last one, Pierre Woods tackled well after the play was over as he was leaving the field, although that was called. That type of behavior should have been fined.
Well, the fine isn't called on the field, so maybe it will be fined. I have no idea. But in theory, yes, they should call penalties when they occur. They shouldn't be affected by the game. Maybe they are. I really didn't see the Welker one. He was hit out of bounds. I thought he was tiptoeing down the sideline. I thought he was in bounds, so I didn't have a problem with that. And I have more of a problem with everybody whining about the officials all the time.
By the way, that thing in Boston with the lights, that was Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yes.
Josh and Akron sends that to
And those
us.
Two idiots that did it. The guy with the dreads, what right. a moron that guy was.
Let's see. Dan in Westchester, Pennsylvania says, Fred, your Rodney Dangerfield made me spit coke in my computer. I haven't laughed like that since the bye week when Tom called some emailer a loser and told him that he wouldn't stop listening to the show because Tom owns him.
He uses that rant at least once a week, so yeah. You must laugh a lot.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Fred can dethrone Tom, even though when it comes to actual analysis, I agree with Tom and Paul way more. Fred, you are hands down the funniest, and Andy is slowly growing on me. He must be having a wart or something.
I thought you were the funniest because I was pretty lame. And if these guys spent more time with you, they'd realize you're always lame.
What was that?
I'm just saying.
Was
like that night quote in the last season?
Like when you go to deliver a joke and they go, oh, son of a bitch.
I have a lot on my mind.
Paul, were you listening to EEI this morning?
Yeah, a little bit.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch today was John Dennis.
Well, oh,
defending
absolutely.
The idea.
Now, absolutely.
That was what I was wondering. When you guys get together with the crafts,
is he included
and they tell
in those
you,
meetings?
Are you and he there at the same times, or do you have separate meetings? They just use the same script?
Yeah. Andy, Paul, and Tom were played by Jerry Callahan in regards to the CBS restaurant.
Right.
And John Dennis, absolutely. It's background. It's ambiance. It's atmosphere. It's like the wallpaper.
Right.
Listening to.
And then.
Yeah. Cagney and Lacey.
Callahan even took it further, ripping like CBS and the network and saying it was an old person network and they were good 20 years ago. And
Survivor is pretty huge, and that's...
Well, it's not as big as it was.
I'm not ripping the network in any of the shows that they're talking about. I just don't understand that theme.
Jerry said it right. You go out to not watch TV.
Right.
If you want to watch TV during dinner, you stay at home and eat at the coffee table.
Well,
I don't see what that adds. Let's put it that
go
way.
Ahead, mock it
if you
as
will.
Much as you want. And by the way, for anyone who... doesn't know they announced that the Kraft Group and CBS have teamed up to open up a restaurant at Patriot Place called the CBS Scene.
Is it the CBS Scene or is that you adding the?
Yeah,
I don't know. and
Fred's a big
it's
player.
It's obviously a CBS themed restaurant. There's going to be over about 150 plasma screens all over the place. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of CBS artifacts and memorabilia and things to learn, but there'll be a few cool architectural things that will be,
cool
in play cool. there. And at many of the seats, there will be these flat screen TVs where you'll have access into choosing 16. CBS content that you want to watch, as well as whatever is on TV at the time. So it'll be a multi-use platform. And it's kind of cool. If you want to go back and look at some 60 Minutes, you can, or I Love Lucy, or whatever they have there.
How about the Cowboy game?
Yeah, sure. So it's going to be an awesome restaurant, really, and the food obviously is going to be really, really
phenomenal.
Good. Phenomenal.
If the food is great,
that's
it'll be an awesome restaurant.
That's all that really
no,
matters.
Nothing else.
The
in
food
that
and the service. You got to have those two things.
Right.
If you have bad service can ruin good food.
See, I think good food can trump anything else. If the food is that good, I'll eat there.
But if it comes cold, then it's no good.
Then the food wouldn't be good.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I include that.
You
got to
have
food.
Good service.
It has to be hot.
You don't
want to
wait all night for your food. So, you know, both those things are promised to be top notch, and it's going to be a good place. I mean, anyone in this area, this is going to be a place to go hang out at the bar. The bar is going to be incredible. It's going to be a great place to hang out.
So 150 plasmas. So hypothetically speaking, I know this shouldn't happen with you running the show there, but say this place fails.
Yes.
Could I take the space and open up my Schwings?
Schwings? What is Schwings?
It's my...
Is that your topless hairdresser place?
No, that's a different idea.
Oh, okay.
This is my sports slash wing bar that I have a few ideas for. I was only going to go 40 plasmas, but if we have 150 available.
And what is different from your sports wing sports place than any other?
It's better.
Why?
Well, it's going to have 40 types of wings, 40 types of beers.
Oh, see, that's the most overrated thing.
No, it isn't.
Different types of wings.
You know, it's overrated.
You need about five different
watching
types
60
and you're
minutes
all
at
done.
Your table.
You know, how many types of different wings do you need?
40.
No, you need buffalo, you need teriyaki, you need honey mustard, and maybe a couple others.
How about garlic and parmesan? A couple different kinds of barbecue, a southern barbecue, a northern barbecue.
Too much.
40 wings. I'm telling you, then you have the logo as part of what sells Schwings. So I would need a big rotating, it's a bird with a baseball bat, chicken, swinging, Schwings. So you get it. That would have to be on top. Can we add that to the top of that
building?
So
it's C-H-W-I, so it's really Twings, right?
What's that now?
It's how do you spell it?
I don't know. Schwings.
I would say SH.
But then what's the chicken have to do with it?
Chicken
why
wings.
Why Schwings?
Wings come from you know.
What are you?
Schwing.
What are you, Jessica Simpson?
But why Schwing?
Gary, play it. You know, Schwing. There's a
I know, but,
double meaning there.
Yeah, I know, but what is that double meaning?
Schwing. When I see a hot girl, Schwing.
Oh, so now it's
not, a happy place.
So you're gonna have Hooters girls in
the
there.
The wings. There will be young waitresses with large breasts. Yes.
Oh boy. Why don't you just call
Wait,
it breasts?
Young waitresses with large breasts don't sell, but 60 minutes
60
at your table,
minutes
that's,
in the background.
That's a deal maker.
The ambiance.
Why don't you just call it
why
breasts?
Why are you teaming up on me?
She'll be old by that time. She couldn't work there.
Yeah. We'll all be dead by that time.
No, I think this will fail fast, and I can slide right in there at Schwings.
Okay.
Let's turn it over to Patriots Football Weekly,
right.
Andy Hart.
Patrick says, Patriots Pro Shop shameless endorsement. In response to Fred's shameless pitching of the Patriots Pro Shop's wares, and with Christmas being only 2 weeks away, here's my guess on what the PFW crew is asking for Christmas from the Pro Shop.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
Tom, an autographed number 41 Ventrone jersey. Andy, a size triple XL knit hat to keep one's giant melon warm in the cold New England winters.
I would like to point out I was given a knit hat, and they used to fit. I think they're making them smaller these days because even knit hats don't fit
anymore.
No,
your head's growing as we speak. Eric, a Patriots finger flick football set to relive the glory years.
Paul, I know from experience, dude.
Paul, a gross of Patriots seat cushions to hand out to nearby fans at games so they sit the bleep down. Fred, anything from the Patriots Pro Shop would be great as they only sell high-quality items.
Right.
That is
like
true.
Beach towels for midgets.
That is true.
Flanders has cooties. Flanders has cooties.
Let's see. Dean from DeBarry, Florida. Fred Kirsch for president. Tom is the one that sucks. He picked Pittsburgh to win after advocating the undefeated mantra all year long. Now he is paying the price for pissing off the football gods with bronchial strepidakis. Die, you bum, die. Long and slow.
Wow.
I agree.
Wow.
Die, bum, die. I'm not saying to all the people in the terrible traffic on the way to the stadium this week.
That's tough.
5 hours early, and I'm backed up on 495. I rooted for a lot of people to die.
Gary is from Syracuse. Did anyone ever ask Billy B why he stepped down as the coach of the Jets and took the Patriots job when he did? It looks like he could see into the future, but at the time, I think the Jets team was as good as the Patriots. Do you guys know what his thought process was when he did this? And those charges are crybabies. Merriman said Fisher told his team to hurt him. It's football, grow up.
I don't think there was any desire to get to the Patriots because he felt like they were a better team. I think if he stayed with the Jets, there's a very good chance that the Jets have won three titles in the last
He didn't want to be Little Bill.
Year. Well, that was the thing. Parcells wasn't
He wanted to
leaving.
Get out from under that shadow.
He was the GM. He didn't want to be, you know, Parcells' coach,
right.
which
right.
means he wouldn't really be running the team.
But don't you think
it was going through an ownership change? It was uncertain, and I think he kind of might have known there was an offer out there.
Yeah, but he didn't want to be there more than he wanted to be here.
Right. That's my point.
It's not like he knew Tom Brady was going to be his quarterback.
Right.
And he goes, you know what? In New England, I can win some Super Bowls quick.
That's true.
He didn't even know he was going to be
good. Tom Brady wasn't here yet.
Right. That's my point. So he wanted to get out of there, and he happened to land here. And I think he did probably have an understanding or a knowledge that Mr. Kraft would be interested if he was available.
Let's see. Dave, what does...
By the way, you read that last sentence about Chargers?
Yeah.
Faster than you've ever read anything, and you didn't even stumble. And that was my first point. The second was... Wasn't it a clean hit?
Yeah.
It was like he got blown up.
Well, that's why I said I don't know if there were plays throughout the game that he thought he was targeted, but there was one play that they keep showing was absolutely a clean hit. The guy was coming back in motion and just hit him head on. Wait, what are you looking at over there?
Our good buddy.
What are you doing?
I keep hearing that noise, too. That weird noise.
What?
But
what noise?
I don't know.
The first bikini hairdressers called Heavens opened in Virginia in October 2007, where all the hairstylists are young women in bikinis, but they don't look like they have nice breasts, and they look like they have kind of bellies like Paul.
Atlanta, 37-27-1 with Vic, 6-22 without him. Mm. Maybe he's not as bad as everybody
says.
That's
not really fair.
Brian writes in from Farmington, Connecticut. What? Maury's coming back?
Not here.
No, he's coming back to run the new Patriots Hall.
And he will
of Fame.
Not be allowed on this radio station, right, Fred?
Ever.
Well, I don't know, ever. He might have to come
see?
On and talk about
you
the
see?
Museum.
You see, Andy, that's how it starts. That's how it starts.
He might have to come and talk about the museum. I want to promote the museum.
Let me know what that day is. I'll give Mike in North Attleboro his wish, and I won't show up that day.
And I'll be sick. I'll have digestive issues.
Eddie says he lives in New York City. You guys are my only source for true Patriot info. Since I listen to you guys at work, I take a lot of abuse for listening to you, but your excellent show is certainly worth it. Thank you very much. Quick question. If the Patriots run the table and win it all, will the saying defense win championships change? Will other teams start to copy the Patriots blueprint and stock up on offense? Also, wouldn't you say out of all the Super Bowl championships that the Patriots had, this would be the first team that had a better offense than it did a defense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they had a very powerful offense in 04, but the defense was great too.
Right.
This, I would say, yes, this would be a much better offense.
P.S.
Which is
Eddie
unfortunate
says,
because I thought the defense would have a chance to, you know, the big play nature on offense makes it more interesting, but I thought this was going to be a
better
defense.
We thought it was going to be an awesome defense.
The defense is not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Thomas hasn't, you know, shown up and made plays like I thought he would, especially in recent weeks on the outside. So I think I would fall under a little disappointment here for the defense.
But, you know, here's what's probably going to happen with this team. Come playoff time, this defense is going to be out of this world.
A lot of switches they're flicking in the playoff time. Defensively, they're going to be great running the ball.
The Colts did it last year.
But I'm talking about the Patriots.
Okay, give me one other.
I know,
but
it can happen.
But give me one other example of a defense that stunk and then got to the playoffs.
They have the personnel.
I think if
they have the personnel.
See, I don't.
I think that defensive line plays like they're supposed to be playing. I think Thomas comes around and starts. They, you know, you watch.
Watch.
I think the one team that Indy played last year with an offense moved the ball at will against them. They played three bad offenses and they shut them down. The Patriots moved the ball all over the place on them.
They couldn't run
points.
The ball.
They don't run the ball against anybody.
P.S. says, Eddie, by the way, I'm strapped for cash. Wish I could buy your lunch. To show my appreciation. Well, that's okay. We have now a payroll deduction plan. You can have a little bit taken out of each check. And
I think you should set that up with the CBS place, by the way, Fred.
We might.
Payroll deduction.
We might.
Now, are they going to have takeout?
Sure, yeah.
So we could make that our place where we send orders to, and people, we could get takeout, have somebody run it
there
down
here. There you go.
Until we realize the food's not bad.
Actually, we might broadcast from there.
Yeah, we should. I can watch 60 minutes while we broadcast.
What's that now?
I don't know if that would be good.
Yeah.
Why?
We don't want to ruin people's lunches.
Plus, we get out of the locker room 5 minutes before the show starts. Where are we going?
Yeah, where is this place going
to
be located?
It's right next to the museum. Right there. Right out on the
plaza. It's right on the plaza, Paul. It's as close as this is to the locker room.
It's actually closer.
Says Fred.
Diane from Bridgeport. Belichick didn't cheat. He simply authorized videotaping of something on the opposite side of the field against league rules.
Yes, defensive signals.
Right.
Oh, we're not sure about that.
Yeah, we are. We saw the videotape.
Fred,
you saw the videotape. Say it. Don't try to
I saw something that Pete Prisco put up, or what's his name, put up on the you know, that was sent to him. I don't know what it was.
It, you saw it, and it was defensive signals.
Yes.
And if it was the wrong tape, don't you think the league would have issued a statement that said that was not any piece of the footage we collected?
They didn't want to. They didn't say either way it was or it wasn't.
Because it was.
They were just mad that that was sent out there.
That's very well done right there, Fred. That was one of your better ones.
But we argued this like 2 months ago, and he finally admitted in the end that it was, yes, that was what they were taping.
Well, what we saw is what was going on, but I don't know where that came from. Jason from Brookline, Mass. Hey, guys, love the show. Been listening since January 06 after the Broncos playoff game when we lost. You guys are great to listen to in between classes. I just had a comment to make about Logan Mankins. The guy is truly one heck of a player. I like the way he backs up Tom Brady when someone takes a cheap shot at him. I wonder if anyone thinks he's a dirty player around the league.
Probably.
Either way, I like his game and his attitude as an offensive lineman. Have you guys seen more into the fights that were shown on CBS than the viewer?
No, I didn't. I asked him, and he said, we were just having fun.
Yeah, I like that quote.
But I do like the one where it was over on the Patriots sideline, then afterwards Will Fork kind of walked the Steelers back over to their sideline, you know, shooing them away. That was good.
I thought Will Fork was not only excellent on the field Sunday, but did you read any of the stuff that he had to say about Pittsburgh? Just, you know, how good they are and how much, you know, there was a lot of trash talking, but no one really means any of that stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of respect on both parts. I'm sure that they would say the same thing. Just thought, you know, good stuff. And he played, I thought.
Very good game.
A standout game, which is exactly what he did last year, by the way, when he had that one game against the Jets that everybody was like, what happened to Will Fork today? And then he really was a different guy, in the next week. And he was great.
If we're going to give praise for on and off the field, I'd put Rodney in the same class. I thought he played well on the field. And then I thought he did a good job saying he's a young safety.
Yeah.
This is a humbling league. I've been humbled hundreds of times. He'll be okay. Because I think everybody, they like to use it, but at least he came out and said, in the end, it was a dumb thing to say. He'll learn from it. He'll move forward.
He said that well after, but I thought it was a really good quote. That's why I kept it in the game. I left it in the game, so I kind of closed with that. Because that was the story, was this kid making the guarantee.
Right.
And then, not only that, but then being really, really picked on in the game for the two biggest plays. So it would have been easy to just, you know, have everybody line up and take shots at him, but I thought that was an insightful,
well,
classy comment from Rodney.
Just shows yet again that...
Plus, he's my guy.
As long as it's not between the lines, he's as classy as they come.
Todd from Nova Scotia, oh my freaking God, did I hear you say Brian Morey is coming back? How could you do this
happy.
To Tom? The over-under number of weeks before Tom, even in his weakened condition, bites him in the face. 2 weeks.
Well, that's if Tom lives.
Now, Brian is coming to run the museum. He's not coming
due to his
back
to PFW. Extensive background running museums and serving as a curator in many, many locales.
I will be counseling him.
I kind of asked the same question I asked with you involved with the restaurant. How did you learn all these things that you're not...
Wait a minute. You'll be counseling him in what way?
On how to run a museum.
Yeah, is he under your umbrella?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm really worried. Not because of you. I'm just really worried that he's too close.
He is way too close. He's near our working
Thank
areas.
God.
Can we get a rush order on that museum so his office can be built? Just finish that so we can get him out there.
Bertone's from Lake Worth, Florida. All the talk earlier this season was that the Patriots had unfair advantages with the camera on the sideline. If you ask me, I think the defenses now have the advantage. The Patriots are lining up every week for at least 90% of the time with an empty backfield, letting defenses know that they're going to throw the ball. Stop me if you can. So far, I have to say they're winning the battle. Just another side of Bill's arrogance. I'm going to throw the ball on every down, and you know it, and you still can't stop me. It's true.
It is true. But I will say that even though they've done that, for some reason Anthony Smith still thought they were going to run it when they put it in Lawrence Maroney's stomach. I don't get it. I just don't get how you could fall for
a
play
action. It was a badly written sports movie.
It would be more understandable if Anthony Smith watched Lawrence Maroney run right by him for a 63-yard touchdown.
I agree.
Then what happened?
I agree.
Idiot.
Where's our boy John in L.A.?
I don't know.
I
he's
just
on
thought
strike.
Of it when
no,
I said
no
badly.
No one's for you today.
Maybe he's not allowed to write emails either as part of the guild.
Well, this is starting to affect me, I saw. They've now moved back like 24 is not going to start when it was supposed to start.
Ridiculous. But you know what? Do you really miss it?
I do.
You miss the new shows?
Yeah.
I haven't missed it.
The show. Well, first of all, my shows haven't really been overly affected. The shows that I watch, for the most part.
Two and a Half Men has not been on lately.
That was a repeat last night, so I missed
it's
that.
2 weeks in a row now they haven't had a
And let
one
me ask you a question. We see
year,
a lot so of, like, new record-breaking rated sports shows. Is that because that there's nothing else on?
But
I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
TJ says he's in the land where they whack rats. This is TG and NJ. He says that there's a John Czarnecki story on Fox Sports.
Yep.
In it, he says, quote, "And everybody in New England now knows the Patriots security staff had to throw Mangini's illegal cameraman off the sidelines during the Jets' 06 visit." He has a link to the story. If this is true, Mangini really looks bad.
That's why we were talking about
right.
who was responsible for turning it in.
My guess is Mangini thought they were just going to throw the guy off the sideline.
My guess, that's what Mangini said. Just don't right. be on the lookout. Throw him off the sideline if you see him, the same way they did to us.
But maybe right. it wasn't. Maybe it was just get him off the sideline. You know, like just get him or something. And all of a sudden, whoa, why we? What's going on here? And it snowballed.
Well, you might be right, but
I think he should get it out there.
If this hadn't been given to the press, it would not have been half the story.
I think you're right about that. My point is that I don't. Me and Andy were just talking about earlier. Why wouldn't Mangini get somebody and say, "Hey, look, can you try to make me look a little bit better here? This isn't really the way it went down. The way it's being portrayed is not how it went down."
Right.
If that is indeed the way it went down.
We'll never know,
the
probably.
Problem with Mangini is if he did get that out there, then his ownership would know probably right. came from his camp trying
That's
to save
true.
Face. And so you can't
You're
win.
Probably better off not saying anything.
Yeah, you
You're
can't
right.
win.
I don't know about him.
John says.
He's looked bad in this, very bad.
No, I know, but like Fred says, you're not. All you're going to do is look like a baby who's trying to protect his butt.
Plus, if you piss
there.
Off your employers, you're definitely out of a job.
Right.
If you piss off Bill, you might have trouble finding the next one.
Yeah, at the least he can say, "Hey, look, I took that bullet for everybody." You know?
And we've talked about it when Fred sort of gave us the inkling that Tannenbaum was more responsible. We've talked about the fact that Bill might not hold Mangini in the low regard that everybody assumes he does any more so than he did before this all happened.
Right.
I mean, there was clearly an issue there to start with, but we aren't so sure that this has pushed it deeper and deeper into the hole.
I think he's probably more upset about the whole Brian Daboll slash Matt Chatham, all that kind of nonsense than this.
Let's see. Sorry to all that are not listed. This is from David. I just downloaded the Friday show, and the guy who said you're an idiot, you freaking moron, he can't think for himself, is the one I have a disagreement with about Maroney. That has to be Tom.
Yes, that's Tom.
Because I would never say that.
No, you know.
None of the other three of us would.
Only to us.
Let's see. Brian from Aspen, Colorado. Payroll reduction plan. You guys don't give up, do you? Have you changed your moniker from PFW to IRS? That's just a joke. I mean, we really don't have that, you know.
But I do think they should get it.
Yeah.
A Patriot Place, payroll deduction.
Makia in Roxbury says, long-time listener, first-time writing. I may be because I give them – it may be because I give the team a bit of credit as a hometown fan, but the fact that Brady verbally checked him on the field and that Bill shared his thoughts on Smith's play during the press conference leads me to believe – that one, the team is absolutely tired of all the blank talking this season, and two, that Smith may have mouthed off excessively or said something that was highly inappropriate. I agree that it might not be smart for the QB to mouth off because he will become more of a target, but I can say that I truly enjoyed it as a Pats fan and thought it was high time for Brady to man up a bit. I like seeing it, too. Basically, this guy demeaned his wide receivers, so he was sticking up for his wide receivers.
Okay.
And I like it.
I wouldn't like it if I was a Patriots fan, as I said, because I think it puts a little bit more bigger of a bullseye on his back. Somebody take a cheap shot at him. You saw James Harrison immediately got in there to get with his boy. I think that could
take it
to the next
level. And then I saw Brady
immediately
backpedal as quickly as he could.
I would, too. You ever seen James Harrison?
Except
when he's playing the Patriots, he's a dangerous man. Did nothing against them. Quiet as six tackles.
We had a lot of emails that we didn't get to today. I want to thank everyone for emailing in, but we'll be back tomorrow at noon, and we'll see if we can get to more of them tomorrow. We'll close out with Manny, who says he wants to let all the...
Manny?
Manny. M-E-N-I is his name. All the people in New Hampshire know that Channel 9, WMUR, in Manchester, New Hampshire, will show the Giants-Pats game. Channel 5 Boston and Channel 9 New Hampshire should give good coverage. Many fans of Northern New England don't get Channel 5, but do get Channel 9. So
somebody's getting screwed.
That's going to be a big issue the week before the Giants game. We'll
yep.
talk about it then. All right. That'll be it for today's show. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday, and whatever.